Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Getting ready to sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you finally that we got the electronics working again. We praise you, Lord, for the answers to the prayers in regard to Cinchcast Broadcasting, which was certainly having some unique challenges associated with having an outage occur right before an earthquake, which had its epicenter centered on the Donald Trump golf courses right outside of New York, New Jersey area. Praise God. Thank you for the feedback from everybody who's given me that feedback through Google chat. Thank you very much. Praise God for that. I appreciate it. I'd like to be able to stop, but we have too much to cover because of the time outages. But I was told in some prayer time, not just me specifically, but also through some people that I was praying with. I'm going to try to keep the privacy thing going on, but there was a word that was given to someone who's very a good friend of mine, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And she felt impressed, and so did another person that was praying with her about the radio program, that the Lord may have been protecting me because these entities of darkness are listening a lot more and trying to censor. As a matter of fact, Stephen Ben Noon on Telegram has put out a fleece for prayer and such because there have been – he's under attacks from YouTube right now because of some of the stuff he's been covering. Praise God. So anyway so we're back. That's great. Thank you, Jesus. So if there is a acute, at least to some degree, and I know that we all see through the mirror dimly. I know that we all prophesy in part. But if there is any truth at all to there being something associated with protection for me, I would understand why, because if I had several days ago been putting out the information that I have been given, I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to get into the details of the hows and the whys and the whats, but there's a lot of information associated with what may or may not go down tomorrow. Now, I know that I see it from all different directions. Believe me, I do. Blessed very much by the listeners of this program, whom I pray for on a regular basis, on my knees in many cases in prayer, and asking for indeed a tenfold anointing. Whatever that means, it's up to our Heavenly Father, but I'm asking for a tenfold anointing on every single individual that lifts me up in prayer. And I make that very clear, but that's okay. I also pray for the rest of all of us, you know, past, present, and future, because people come, people go. Especially nowadays, since every family has a podcaster. there's people out there, you know, it's a very tough economy. God has blessed me, but the bottom line is everybody's a podcaster now. So we're just going to go ahead and leave it at that. When you have and anybody out there who has like Fire TV or streaming TV or whatever, or, you know, hangs out on YouTube or Facebook or the internetosphere or whatever, or Rumble or, you know, band.video from the Alex Jones opera, whatever. You know, what you come to recognize very, very quickly, you know, you got Tucker Carlson. Come on, man. I mean, it's like everybody, all the mainstream media people that have been kicked out of Fox News, Lara Logan, all these people, God bless them, you know, but we now have podcasters by the tens of thousands, if not the hundreds of thousands, on a global level. I know several that are even from, you know, other countries and such like that, and some I'm sure that I'm not even aware of, you know, that are, of course, I mean, you know, I did not know that, for example, Twitter had a headquarters located in Brazil, and they're under attack right now and getting taken down because of Brazilian censorship laws. And, you know, and Elon Musk is coming right out and telling everybody, too bad. Too bad. I will take the loss of revenue. Brazil is a very big revenue generation country, but the problem is this state and country, whatever. The point is this: is that he's right. Brazil has they see themselves very autonomously. They're very much like China. They're very much like Russia. They don't play on the world stage without other people, and they tell everybody to get out of their face, and they do what they want to do. That doesn't mean that their elections are not controlled, because they are. Anyway, so let's go ahead and finish our glory to our Lord Jesus. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Father, for the restoration. We praise you for your divine protection. We know that we would not be here if it wasn't for your divine protection, and you've made that abundantly clear to me through miracles that have happened that I can't even remember all of them. They're just amazing, and you're an awesome Father. Jesus, you are so amazing. We cannot wait to stand before you at the wedding supper. We know and understand what Luke 21:36 is talking about. It is talking about the wedding supper, and we pray, as it says in your Holy Bible, we praise you for your promises, and we stand upon those promises. Matthew 18:19, again I say to you, you said, Jesus, to us, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be given and it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Praise God. And we thank you, Father God, and we ask you to find each and every one of us worthy, counted worthy, because we're not worthy by our own works. Okay, we are only found worthy if our Lord finds us worthy, and we are in a state of continuous repentance. And Lord Jesus, we pray that we are constantly learning, constantly drawing in closer, constantly residing in the secret place of the Most High, that we would be entrusting you, Father God, in every single day, because you decide, Father, you decide what the outcome is going to be for each and every one of us. But we have to first love you and seek you. And we pray that our love will intensify, our love for you, Lord Jesus, will intensify, our love for your word, which is the truth and the sword of the Spirit, will intensify. And we praise you for the days that we are in right now, because boy, oh boy, is it getting hot out there in the kitchen. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you, because the times now are getting more exciting than they have ever been. And there are those out there that are getting creepified by the things that are happening out there, but not us. No, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We see this is what it is. These are precursor events that we are watching unfold as we quickly approach our departure. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for every gift, every mercy, every blessing, everything. We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have just poured out upon us in blessings, that many of which we don't even understand. If we only knew, if we only thought about what it would be like to wake up tomorrow with only the things that we have thanked you for the day before, it would just be, it's just a travesty. And we praise you for everything. We praise you for all of your blessings from now and forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, we pray that you will count us worthy. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this ability to be able to come out after all these years, 13 years, 7,000 plus radio shows, so many incredible guests that have just blessed us and brought us to a whole nother level of understanding that is beyond that, which is available out there in many places. And it's okay, Father. We just want to love you. We just want to love you, Jesus, and we want to be ready to go to that wedding supper. We praise your holy name, because that is it. After that, we are going to be amongst the saints in the New Jerusalem, transformed and dressed up like a bride. And that's what we wish for more than anything. And we pray together on earth in Jesus' name and in accordance with Matthew 18:19, that this will be our reality. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I finally figured out at what point to hit the the button for the soundboard to, like, you know, what do they call it, diminuendo. Somebody finally contacted me. I think it was a couple of people, but primarily West Coast Walter out in one of the most dangerous places in the entire world today, maybe short of a couple of cities in China, and definitely the Ukraine in Donetsk. But anyway, he's out in the Portland area, and that's about creepy town USA. But he was telling me it's a diminuendo when it's crescendo and a diminuendo. So anyway, there you go for all you music fans out there. Praise God, I am too. I had somebody, you know, curious about why I was so into music, and even music that's not, you know, I'm into all music. I'm into all music, except I'm not into rap and I'm not into any of that satanic weirdness. But Jason Aldean, I've been very much not a country music fan personally for my life. But then for some reason I decided I liked Jason Aldean, so I actually bought my very first country music album of his. But anyway, praise God. So anyway, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. May our praises to your name, may our time spent in praise glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to move forward with the program. Now, kids, I'm sorry about this, but we're quite behind schedule now. So you guys are going to have to sit in the Sorry, but you can stay in the studio here with me. It's all right. You can stay in the studio here with me, and you can hang out while we move into the news. Is that all right? Okay. All right. Praise God. So anyway, on that note, we're going to go ahead and move directly into the news because, well, there's, you know, we got Gary. Now, it's weird because we had to communicate with Gary and warn him that there might be some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. But at the same time, and, you know, Gary's a very busy guy. So did he get our messages? Did he read the messages? Was he dealing with other radio shows that he had to do? I don't know. I hope we didn't mess it up so that now he's confused and thinks that we're not going to have the radio show. I don't know. But anyway, at this point, we tried our best to stay in contact with him and, you know, people can, you know, the guests and such. And we've got some really interesting guests coming. And Sister Nancy, hello, Sister Nancy. But we're going to start going back through some of our older guests. We had that awesome program with Heidi. Anyway, we're going to start digging around because we got John W. Myler joining us again, the author of the book Aliens and the Antichrist, one of the most advanced understandings of how angels operate in our, very, very odd hologram existence here in this quantum physics. Oh, gosh. And then you got CERN. Oh, geez, Jiminy Crickets. I mean, I could do a whole program on CERN. There are actually people out there, I'm not going to mention their names, but that specialize in certain subject matter, and they become very well known, but They only know, you know, that one little thing. They're very focused on one thing. For us to be able to watch for the imminent signs of Jesus coming, to be able to check off the boxes associated with the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and Revelation chapter 6, all the way through the seventh seal, but really pretty much up to the sixth seal, which is the day of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And a lot of people, you know, get a little bit lost in that quagmire of boxes that need to be checked, and they're not really sure what comes first, second, third, and fourth. And you know, we forget it. The cool thing is that God has revealed to us awful long time ago, and in fact, probably about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I think, it's hard to keep track because you know how it is. You look back and, you know, it looks like everything's, you know, spinning past you really, really fast. And, you know, you look in the mirror and you're like, wow, look, you know, my hair's all falling out, you know, and it's like, I'm 60 blank, you know, and it's just, you can't believe it. And then you look forward and you're like, man, this is taking forever. Has somebody put like, you know, fly paper on the ground? Why is it taking so long for these things to start happening? So anyway, it's enough to drive you up a wall, but you know, we just have to persevere. You know, that's the key word, persevere. And I still believe, how could I not believe with all of my heart, you know, with the Reverend Tracy Shulman giving a prophecy regarding Obama being the Antichrist. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of people that we have brought on the radio show about Obama being the Antichrist. Now, granted, you know, you heard the testimony of, you know, oh gosh, the list just goes on and on of how many people. Now, some of them have kind of, you know, let it go, and they don't talk about it anymore because people are very much, you know, Burger King minded, you know, have it your way. I'll give Lauren Peterson the credit for that one. You know, we're a very Burger King oriented sort of a generation. We want everything to happen now. Okay, so what happens is, you know, when, for example, you'll have this phase where everybody in the, you know, I still have all the data. I still have the photographs. I still have the screenshots. I still have, because I know that 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 Obama is the Mac Daddy son of perdition. He is the real big time Antichrist. And yeah, I know people like, well, the Bible says there'll be like multiple Antichrist, and I'm like, you know what? No. Okay, let's chill out. You walk in any Christian bookstore, and how many books are you going to find about his Islamic Antichrist? All these Christians out there, but you know what? What it is we're so Burger King oriented that as soon as the person slips out of the public eye, okay, they're no longer in view of the television screen, suddenly everybody stops talking about it. Nobody wants to, you know, stick their neck out and dare to say that he's still the Antichrist. No, he is the Antichrist. He is now. He will be. And it is a marker for us to be able to embrace. And I know it because, you know, I'm going to tell you, it's as simple as this. You know, I'm sorry for you if you're wavering on this. But look, all the people that were pointing to the House of Windsor, okay, you know, and Tim Cohen's work, you know, Aliens and the Antichrist. Tim Cohen's work was the Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. But anyway, the point is, look at what's happened to the House of Windsor. It's all but completely fallen apart. Okay, they've got French military personnel that are actually guarding, you know, Windsor. You know, and it's just total weirdness going on over there. There was a video recently that surfaced on TikTok of some guy. I don't know how he got the video footage, and maybe it was a farce. I don't know. It's very difficult to confirm anything nowadays. But they actually had a scene. I don't know if it was a scene, if it was faked, or if it was actual legit footage that somebody snuck with their cell phone, but of Nancy Pelosi supposedly with, you know, being arrested. But I don't trust a lot of stuff that I see out there anymore because, you know, you got the whole AI influences that are taking place. You've got deep fake stuff that's going on right now. So it's very, very difficult. You have to always kind of look at things with squinty eyes nowadays. And because the counterintelligence, the counterintelligence that comes out of Langley, the counterintelligence, there's buildings and buildings and buildings. There's a lot of buildings that people have talked about this. I am very aware of this. I've been aware of it for more than 15 years, that there are counterintelligence computer computer. This is all about computers. It's all about the internetosphere. It's all about, you know, www. That's what it's all about. And that is the new war front. Okay, cyber war is a real thing. I know a little bit about that after 26 years. But anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go ahead and jump right into these headlines. I don't know how much we're going to be able to get out there to you, but we are pregnant, hallelujah, speaking about labor pains, with information at this point. Some of it might have to roll forward. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And let's go ahead and head into it right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
It's not normal.
This is disgusting.
Game over.
All right, glory to God. So just keep in mind, don't let this freak you out. Don't let this freak you out because the attacks that Satan come, people think the satanic attacks come in only one flavor, okay? No, they come in tutti frutti flavors galore, okay? So there is no limit to the flavors of satanic attacks upon God's people. Now, I will say this. Satan does attack those who cause him the most grief. It very much is a war, okay? It's a war for souls. But God is using him with an executive, you know, Satan, with a type of an executive severance package to help him ultimately, you know, he is the accuser of the brethren, accuses the brethren both day and night, Revelation 12. But at the same time, you know, people will ask, you know, well, why does God not destroy Satan if he loves the world? Well, it's all part of the filtration system that is associated with this particular existence, this particular generation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when the Lord God Yahweh Elohim created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 2, verse 4, which I argue should have been the last verse in Genesis 1. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like this, and I hope that you do too. Well, I think it's a good, healthy, a godly way to feel. I would rather be under attack and on my knees praying than assuming that everything is okay and find myself in a less desirable situation later. So I try to keep reminding myself as, you know, the radio show goes through the challenges. But if I was on YouTube, I'd be gone. And there, you know, my fallback plan would be to move over to Rumble. But I'll tell you something, folks. There's a lot of information that's leaking out right now that Rumble is being taken over by the forces of darkness as well. So that might be a very limited activity there. Stephen Ben Noon is under attack right now. So on YouTube, and he's crying out, you know, in a holy manner, you know, crying out to his, you know, calling out, I should say. Hey, everybody, you know, I know a lot of you, you know, this on Telegram. So, and I feel bad about that because I had a feeling that was, you know, going to happen. But anyway, on that note, praise God, let's just go ahead and jump into these headlines because oh my gosh. I mean, are you kidding me? And we have so much to cover. So please stay tuned. I know it's a long time. It is Sunday night. Hopefully you're not too busy that you can't listen to the whole program because when after Gary does his teaching between 8 p.m. East Coast time, New York time, for those of you listening on in different parts of the world, you know, we are one of the few podcasts that come out of Babylon the Great, the United States of Babylon the Great, that is very, very conscience conscience of, we're very sensitive to what's going on. We are friends with everybody that I can think of in different countries. Many listeners over in Australia. It's in morning time in Australia right now. They listen to the program a lot of times if they're able to during the morning over there around 10 o'clock in the morning when we start. At France, I have a good radio show friend in Christ, Jamil over in Belgium, Amara in Spain. There's people all over the place that talk to me on a daily basis, and it's a deep blessing. And a lot of people, Karen, both of you in Australia and more. But I would never want to be guilty of being an American Christian, because there is no such thing as an American Christian. There are those of us who are in love with Jesus, and he is our first love, okay? And we're all over the place. There's 195 countries, 243 if you count the island nation countries that are provinces usually of other countries, but whatever. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So the American Civil War, this headline, I don't know if you want to call it a headline or an article or whatever you want to call it, but one of the things that is becoming, I don't know what you want to call it, to the forefront of everybody's attention right now is the imminence of a civil war occurring in the United States, which, by the way, was a vision that was included in Dmitry Dudeman's book, Through the Fire Without Burning, Praise God. And he said that it was going to break out in the middle of the United States. Well, isn't it interesting, the X and everything? And everybody gets... We're going to cover all these things, but unfortunately, you're going to need to download this. We may have to do a part two of some of this information. I'm sorry for that. But anyway, that's okay. Everything's going to be fine. I was going to do a catch-up show on Saturday, but I still hadn't gotten any word back that they had fixed the system yet. So what a waste of time that would have been, you know, just to get kicked back off the system. And, anyway, praise God. Let's just go ahead and move forward. So on Zero Hedge, they have a headline which reads, America is hurtling toward a full-blown hot civil war. Now, what they're talking about is people in the streets with guns shooting at one another. And the person goes on and he says, it never ceases to amaze me how little so many people in this country have done to train their minds to critically analyze information. Now, this person's conclusion, and he says it out loud, believe it or not, is that ultimately, after listening to Michael Savage and other people that are out there saying things, that liberalism is a mental disorder, and essentially what their point is that, they're going to have to go to the intent of the Second Amendment. Okay, so the intent of the Second Amendment was to protect the existence of the United States. It wasn't for everybody to walk around with like a cowboy with guns on their side going, stick them up and all that kind of weirdness. It was intended to preserve the country and to prevent what is happening today. Today, even Ben Franklin was quoted, as weird as he has some history of being, he said, you now have your republic if you can keep it. But there's a lot of history, but you got to be very familiar with these things in order to be able to, kind of get it. And if you're from another country, you will not get it. You won't understand it. And actually, most Americans, I would say probably in the 95 percentile or higher, do not understand most Americans are very, very, they're messed up in the head. Even the ones that are good Christians that love the Lord with all of their heart, they just do not understand the satanic and occult origins of the United States of Babylon the Great. They do not understand the New Atlantis that was written back in the 1600s by, the New Atlantis by the Rosicrucian on the tip of my tongue. If I keep on trying to think of it, it'll come back to my head in a second. Sir Francis Bacon. There we go. you know, when I'm physically thinking, trying to think of the name, and then that's when it just jumps out of my mind, and then I stop thinking about it, and it comes back. But anyway, this whole thing it's all been a setup for hundreds of years. It's all, you know, really probably gone back like thousands of years. But anyway, it's okay. We are simply seeing the fulfillment of God's, of our Heavenly Father's prophecies about the city without walls, which is very much Babylon the Great. Now, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I know there are some people that disagree with me. They seem to like they want to clump the United Kingdom and Rome, Italy, and you know, and all that into and call that all Babylon the Great. And I know why, because of David Hunt's book, God Bless Him, like God Bless His Heart, because of some of the stuff that other very wonderful people of the Lord have taught. But we're going to find out otherwise, and you will see it unfold. I believe with all of my heart, you will see it unfold. Now, could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong. I mean, you know, there's always the possibility that any one of us could be wrong about anything. All right. So if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know. Praise Jesus, as it says in 1 Corinthians 8:2. All right. The next one up. Hallelujah. Here we go. Trump, hold on a second. There we go. Trump violates the gag order. So he was given a gag order by the judge, and Judge Merchan said he would essentially jail him if he violates the gag order. You know, of course, he's going through all kinds of hell on earth. Praise God. I don't know what to think about the whole mess. But anyway, there's an awful lot of Christianity, certainly the American evangelical misled pillow prophet folks out there believe that Trump is going to save the United States. I think it's ultimately going to turn out kind of – it's going to be the driving force behind the Civil War that we already know. Look, they're even making a movie. I mean, every time they make a movie about these kinds of things, guess what? They're prophetic. Everybody says, well, they're just broadcasting what Satan wants to do. But, you know, that's kind of like, you know, that's your sophomoric understanding. When you understand that God is in control of everything and ultimately in control of what Satan can or cannot do. Go back and read the book of Job. Just spend a little bit of time in the first part of the book of Job, and you'll get you should, if you're paying attention to what you're reading, you should get a better understanding of what God protects and how he can protect things versus how he cannot. You know, he can pull his hand of protection away, let Satan get away with whatever it is he wants to get away with. You know, Satan was able to take Jesus out into the desert and challenge him, even offer him, some of the kingdom, you know, the kingdoms on the earth and everything. And Jesus, of course, turned it down. Jesus had said to Pontius Pilate, what did he say? He said, if this was my kingdom, my servants would fight. But this is not my kingdom. Okay, so my servants will not fight. Okay, so we are commanded, we are given the new covenant, the covenant of love, the love covenant, the new covenant of the Lord Jesus, and we are to carry our cross to Golgotha. Praise God. All right, we are to love our enemies. It's all over the Bible, and when people don't pay attention to those things, it is very unfortunate. And guess what? The laws of the land do not overcome, they do not supersede the laws of the book of the Bible. Okay, I don't mean the law, it's a bad choice of words because people get so easily confused, but the commandments that we have been given in the New Testament. But anyway, Donald Trump went right on Trump Social and he said, hey, I am going to say what I've got to say. If I've got to be thrown in jail, I'm going to, you know, I'll get thrown in jail. He's calling it, you know, whatever, and speaking what he believes is the truth. And he came right out and said, let's make America get great again. If the prosecutors and the judges want to, you know, I am willing to sacrifice my freedom for that which is a worthy cause, a failing nation, but on November 5th, we will become a great nation again, blah, blah, blah. So he's out breaking essentially the gag order that was put upon him and daring them essentially to throw him in jail. So we'll see what happens with that. Maybe nothing. All right, praise God. The next one up is 2024 predictions of this is going to be a deep show, folks. You really got to hang in there. Not only is Gary deep, okay, but this program and the headlines that we're going to bring forward to you are incredibly deep. All right, let's talk about the eclipse. Okay, let's see if we can fit this in the next 20 minutes, although it's going to be very hard. And I have information on the eclipse that – The difference between me and the other programs that you're going to hear out on the internet is that I try very, very hard to get a well-rounded understanding from all different directions. I want to understand the godly direction. I want to understand the satanic direction. I want to understand the CERN direction. I want to understand the Simpsons predictions, because we're talking about Matt Groening, who's obviously a part of the Illuminati. I want to see all the data, and I want to reconcile all of that data. So let's go ahead and listen to this particular video that surfaced out on the internet talking about the 2024 predictions that are coming from The Simpsons. I think it's fascinating because they've actually been more accurate than quite a few of the people that call themselves prophets of the Lord, which, by the way, is no surprise if you understand the Stanley Frodsham prophecy and you understand how Satan stops our prayers, combat in the spiritual realm or heavenly realm, depending on how you read the text. But it's the spiritual realm. The word heaven has nothing to do with the stinky, horrible crust of evil, the dimension that is wrapped around this incredibly dark earth, prison planet indeed. But anyway, let's listen to this. All right, let's bring it up.
The Simpsons predictions for 2024 are truly chilling. In an episode dating back to 1998, the show hinted at an economic crisis, a nuclear war, and the death of the leader of the United States, all happening in the same year. The episode in question, titled Bart to the Future, provides a glimpse into the future where Lisa Simpson has become the President of the United States. In a conversation with her team, Lisa mentions that the previous administration led by President Biden left behind budget problems and quite a mess. Later in the episode, a news bulletin reports a nuclear clash with an unspecified country, resulting in massive destruction and chaos. While the idea of a nuclear war and an economic crisis is quite frightening, we can certainly hope that these Simpsons predictions do not come true.
A nuclear war and an economic crisis. I mean, it was Sister Terry Hill that told me Washington, D.C., New York City, Miami, Chicago, Los Angeles. Don't forget about the movie. It's still available, the first couple of seasons of Jericho. Very prophetic and on Netflix. Praise God. There so many of these movies, when you rise up past this crust of satanic influences and you understand that God is in control, become prophetic. Okay, but the amount of information in this particular Simpsons thing is absolutely gushing with what the Lord has been showing us over many years of time. Let's go ahead
True.
And continue.
However, it's hard to ignore the show's track record in predicting major events, which leads us to wonder what else they might have predicted for the future. And precisely, one of the latest episodes of The Simpsons contains an even more terrifying prediction than anything they have predicted before. Do you want a part two to find out about it?
All right, so I guess we'll have to wait for the part two to find out these people that specialize in certain things. But, you know, to have the financial collapse, nuclear stuff, civil war, all that coming forward right now just for 2024, wow. And so the question is, does it happen in 2024 or does God delay it due to the prayers of the saints, whatever the case is? We don't know. I personally never pray against the, you know, my Bible says, you know, it says, I will rise and give thanks to you. I will rise at midnight and give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Okay, that's what my Bible says. You know, and I believe that's Psalm 119. Oh, gosh, I need to keep these ones handy, the ones that I have it on my phone here. It's actually easier to use my phone indexed ones than, but I think it's Psalm 119 verse. Oh, dimini, so many verses. Okay, here, hold on a second. Praise you, Lord. Judgment verses. Psalm 119:62. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Isaiah 26:9. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. All right, don't get me going on Isaiah 57:1. The righteous perish, but no one takes it to heart, that merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. So God will sometimes allow us to be in the epicenter of the storm and pass away and be in his presence. Why? Because Psalm 116 verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Praise God. And there's a whole bunch of more of them, you know, but these are I think those are the heavy hitters. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to continue forward. All right. Now, okay, I'm just taking a second look. Okay, so very, very good. All right, so one of the things I wanted to bring up, this is a lot of information, golly gee whiz, in regard, so what we have is five-dimensional chess going on over this eclipse dynamic. Now, I can tell you that it aligns perfectly with Dmitry, the X, and the center of the X aligns perfectly with Dmitry Dudeman's vision. In his, you know, and he had an amazing testimony, an amazing life, and Michael Boldea, his grandson, and all that. But anyway, I won't give you his testimony, but yes, he saw, starting out in the center of the United States, essentially the Civil War that's coming. They're putting out a movie. We all know about that. What is it, April 18th or something like that? The Civil War's coming out, the movie Civil War. They're promoting it heavily now. Heavily. It's actually showing up, I think, on streaming TV as, you know, they're promoting it, letting people know. All right. So, again, the theory is, according to this particular individual, that the coming eclipse will reveal Planet X. Now, I didn't really and that's why the National Guard and mass panic and this and the other thing. Now, if you think about it, when you consider that, that there is a whole another, I'm just going to cheat and use that word, another solar system in our solar system, okay, and people be, you know, we think of the planets all being crushed together in a tiny little bottle and whatever, and oh, how could that happen? And we not, no, that's the reason why we've been seeing second suns. Well, now we're seeing second suns, third suns, fourth suns. I got video of like four suns in the sky at the same time. There's more. I mean, it's constantly happening, and people are really waking up to it. Now, can you imagine the number one reason that we don't are unable to see? People don't understand how the ecliptic plane works, how the reflections of the sun work, you know, and the parallax, all these different mathematical associations, you know, with how it all works. People don't get it very well, you know, unless you're into astronomy. And but when you, the number one reason why we aren't able to see the things that we would otherwise be able to see is because of the brightness of the sun. The brightness of the sun. Now, but wait a minute, wouldn't you see some other moons out there? Guess what? Now people are seeing other moons, which, by the way, was the fulfillment of a prophecy of Dr. David O'Rourke. He was taken up into the heavens, and the Lord showed him many, many moons. It's not that. It's just the reflection of the light of the sun, just as it is on our moon. It's the reflection of the light of the sun on some of those planets. There are seven planets that are orbiting the brown dwarf, the failed yellow dwarf star that is well known as Nibiru. All right? Planet, you know, people refer to it as Planet X. You can call it whatever you want to, but you need infrared optics. Okay? That's why they retrofitted Weiss, Hubble, the Vatican VAT in Mount Graham with the Lucifer attachment. That's all about so that they were able to watch the, well, Nibiru, because it's minus 273 degrees Fahrenheit, as I recall. And that's just, it's the nature of a brown dwarf. You go out and do your homework and you'll be like, wow, he's really right about that stuff. All right, so praise God, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, then we have the stuff that's being pumped out there by our awesome brother, Michael Schneider, who has evidently moved on to Substack. I guess he was under attack or concerned that he would be under attack from censorship. So anyway, he's doing that. There was communication from Sister Rachel Baxter and regarding to the alignment of the planets, where she's using ChatGPT to understand such things. All I can tell you is the alignment is correct, but not really the way it appears to be. It's a little bit more complicated. The alignment of the planets it's not necessarily like it's depicted and the way that it's communicated in ChatGPT. I did some deep dive on that without ChatGPT. Now, ChatGPT does – see, here's the thing. What is an alignment of the planets? Give me the definition of that. Now, in Rachel's research, she feels that she's led to believe or understand that from Jerusalem, looking up in the sky, that the planets will actually align with the Earth and go straight out. However, you know, some of the astronomy sites are saying it's not exactly like that, that there is definitely a four-planet alignment around that there was on the day that – but here's the thing. What does an alignment mean? See, to the world of astronomy and to the world of ChatGPT, an alignment actually means you can look up into the sky and you can see them in a line. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're in an alignment between the sun – You know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Uranus coming out from the sun. Okay, an alignment can be where you look up into the sky, into the darkness, and you actually see the planets lined up, but they're not lined up with you per se. Now, what we don't know is, are they hiding information from us? Okay, I know a little bit about large language models and artificial intelligence and how they work, and unfortunately that information is not always totally trustworthy. And so again, that's just because of my technological background in engineering, and it's a long story, but basically you can pollute an LLM, and when an LLM gets information and it adds it to its repertoire of data, it can, you know, be jimmied into thinking things are true that are not true, and there's all kinds of disclaimers associated with using AI and such. But anyway, that's a long story, but I'm trying to say that it's very difficult to be able to confirm beyond any shadow of a doubt that there's an actual alignment in the sense that the gravitational pull, I will use the term gravity, although that I'm not a Newtonian person, I am a believer in the plasma universe and the electromagnetic influences that appear to be what Newton saw as gravity, okay? And they call it gravity, but I believe it's really an attraction of electrons and et cetera. It's all very – it's part of the whole quantum physics dynamics that we live in right now. And one of the reasons why things like CERN operate like they do, that they can open up wormholes, that they can time travel and everything else under the sun, because it has to do with dimensions and it just goes on and on and on. Anyway, I did want to bring that up, but could it be significant? Yes, it absolutely could be. But here's the other problem that we don't know about. So – You can say, well, gee whiz, we got a planetary alignment going on with Uranus and Jupiter and Mercury and go on and on. But what does that mean? And is it aligned perfectly with the sun? And what is the delta? According to some of the websites out there that specialize in astronomy, you can have a 60-degree delta in that alignment, and they still consider it an alignment. However, I can see why that would be the case, because it's like magnets. And when you put magnets all together in a row, okay, there you, once again, you have magnetism, okay, and when you put magnets in a row, it can be additive. If you put the magnets with the same polarization in a row together, it can be an additive thing. And when it is an additive thing, it can perturb and mess with the equilibrium of the solar system, which includes the neutrinos that are part of the sun's magnetosphere. I'll think of it in a second. But anyway, too much information, TMI, too long. There is a heliosphere. That's the word I was looking for. So you've got the heliosphere, you've got neutrinos, you've got an electromagnetic balance that occurs out in the solar system, and then all these things play a role. You know, when you slow down, a lot of people don't understand this, but when you mess with the heliosphere, which is a particle physics equilibrium of neutrinos that makes up that is actually detectable and measurable across the entire span of the solar system, when you dork with that, you also dork with the spinning of the core of the Earth. Now, you might be an inner Earth, but the Earth is pretty big for us, okay? So there can still be inner Earth stuff going on, but you still have a core at the core. When the core slows down, the volcanoes start popping off like they are right now. You get crevices in the Earth, you get more earthquakes. So there's a lot of electromagnetic Newtonian call it whatever you want to call it pink, purple, polka dotted, whatever, elephants. That the bottom line is that electromagnetic equilibrium, when it gets dorked up and it messes with the spinning of the core of the Earth, it messes with the magnetosphere around the Earth, it messes with the layer. Everybody's going off about the NASA shooting rockets up in the air during the eclipse. No, They are, but they're not shooting them at the eclipse. You don't shoot a rocket at an eclipse. Shooting a rocket at the eclipse is like shooting a rocket at the moon. It's absolutely ridiculous. People don't understand the most fundamental things associated with astronomy, and they come out and make claims. And so again, I'm not saying that, I'm not pointing that back at Rachel. I think she might have some really awesome information. But, you know, there's a lot of things at play here. A lot of people are not considering this seven planets that are orbiting that we have as evidence from the eye, from the human eye. You can see it in the sky. What about that giant planet that is being seen by the FAA telescope up in Alaska that's being filmed very, very frequently? I mean, the list is just amazing. Now, I'm going to read this to you. This is from a person by the name of John. We're going to run out of time tonight. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to keep on going. Okay, so a person by the name of John Trakzik says on published this information. He said, and I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm not there. So it is, you know, me just repeating what he said. And what he said was, is this a sign of the coming apocalypse, this particular person, John? He says, a lifelong friend of mine has lived in many different parts of Africa. I sent this, by the way, to Sammy Mwangi just as an FYI, but he's so busy. He's over there right now. Actually, he's coming back and having a big get-together and everything. I wish I didn't have such a demanding job. But anyway, a lifelong friend of mine, this guy says, has lived in many different parts of Africa for almost 40 years. She has spent 30 of those years working directly with elephants conducting behavioral research, you know, behavior of elephants. She just told me that she and her colleagues are witnessing all of the elephants moving to higher grounds. They have been extremely restless for the past few weeks, and just within the last few days, they began freaking out. After this, my friend and her colleagues began contacting other wildlife officials and he goes across the world, he says, and every single one of the wildlife officials that they talked to said all of their animals are running for the hills. Now, my friend and her colleagues are warning everyone that some global unprecedented cataclysmic thing is about to happen. The animals don't lie. The animals are running for higher grounds. They believe that either there is a global earthquake or a tsunami coming. They don't know for sure, but that's what they believe. They are watching the behavior of the animals. Now, think about this whole thing for tomorrow and also the days surrounding tomorrow as being associated. Think of it like Sandy Hook. Did Sandy Hook happen? Yes, it did. Were there crisis actors involved in Sandy Hook? Yes, there were. Okay, the mistake that Alex Jones made, and it was a terrible mistake, unfortunately, but he assumed that because he found the crisis actors that the whole situation did not happen. That is not how it works. Okay, these entities of darkness know when there are satanic ley lines, okay, that are going throughout the universe. There are pyramids on other planets. Okay, there are wormholes. This stuff is real. Okay, and so until you get your head out of your, 12-ounce thimble full of, you know, all about the earth and us, and you realize how big the cosmology of this dynamic is and that the kingdom of God is all the universes and all this stuff, okay, and we're just really in a satanic containment zone, really, when it comes right now. I wonder to myself sometimes, is the Milky Way galaxy part of that hologram? I don't know. Praise God. It kind of seems like it, but it might be bigger. We don't know. All right, so anyway, I'm going to play this for you, but this is this woman who called. Her name is Myra, and she's out there. She calls herself the paranormal chick, and I want to take some time and get photographs. I want to get the video stuff of this on tribulation-now.org or tribulationnow.com. All right, I want to get it out there so people can read it, but just such a demanding life, isn't it? Isn't it a demanding life? All right, so anyway, praise God. So this lady, I'm going to read this, she says the weird moon and sun sightings are still going strong. The footage was captured by a person that calls themselves Mesmerized in Michigan on 3/28/2024. And what is really going on, she says. And she shows the imagery. Okay, she shows the actual video footage of cameras that are pointed up at the moon. Now, there are actually two really strange moon dynamics going on right now. I don't know what's right, what's wrong. There are people saying, like one person was filming the moon and said that they saw like almost an like lightning shooting at the moon when they were filming it. It was weird. It was zoomed in real close. But in this particular video, she's talking about the fact that they saw three moons. And I have the video right here. It's just that I haven't had time to get all of this stuff up on Tribulation Now. And so I'm hoping maybe if I get a little bit of time, I can do some of this next week. So praise God. So they're seeing multiple moons. Why would they be? Because if the moon reflects the light of the sun in the dark, why wouldn't some of the seven planets that orbit Nibiru, planet X, why wouldn't they do the same thing and also appear like moons? Well, guess what? They would. So we're not just talking about the planets of the solar system, folks. We're talking about two solar systems, and one, they're keeping a major secret. What happens when you block out the sun in an eclipse? Do you more easily see the other planets? Could that be a big part of why they're bringing up all they're bringing up? Oh, folks, let me tell you something. I got some stuff to play for you. After we are blessed by the visit from Brother Gary, I have some stuff to play for you in the second hour after Gary that is going to melt your mind. I mean, it is going to melt your mind. Some amazing things. Now, do we know what's going to happen for sure? No, we don't. Is God in control? Yes, he is. Is there always an A, a B, a C? In other words, could the forces of darkness use some of their alien tech to create a massive earthquake? What about the 007 thing? 10 years ago, I used to play all, you know, dun, 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 before I was turned on to the fact that I was breaking the law with copyright infringement, but I didn't realize it. But anyway, the point is I used to talk about A View to a Kill. I was talking to Sister Elena, text messaging back and forth, you know, frustrated with the radio show problems. And but anyway, I said to her, I used to talk about 007, and Gary, hang in there for me. I'm cutting over to you in a couple of nanoseconds here. But anyway, and I said to Elena, this just happened a couple of days ago. I said to Elena, I said, did you know that in A View to a Kill, they had this guy from Zorro Industries. I forget the guy's name, but anyway, it's irrelevant. But the plot was that they planted micro nukes in the San Andreas Fault in order to trigger it, you know, as bad guys. Okay, you know, you give me all the, you know, and I'm going to take over the world, or I'm going to trigger my nukes and all, you know, San Francisco is going to break off and fall into the ocean, that kind of thing. That was part of the plot of A View to a Kill, 007. So I tell that to Sister Elena through text messaging. And then after we're done talking about it, a couple of text messages, I go back over to my email, and lo and behold, Sister Lisa had sent me a text, and she said, look at this. And she said, I think this is really weird. Now, she has no idea what I'm talking about with Elena. She doesn't know that I just mentioned 007 View to the Kill. She does not know. And I go to an email from Sister Lisa, and she sends me a link to the Museum of Science and Industry. By the way, I have the photograph of it. And the Museum of Science and Industry had hung something. They closed down suspiciously. Nobody knew why. And in the windows, guess what? Hung 007. So within literally less than 60 seconds of time, I mentioned A View to a Kill. And I go over to a link from Sister Lisa G in Missouri, and she's like, wow, this is kind of weird. Why did the Museum of Science and Industry up in Chicago was shut down unexpectedly, and why do they have 007 in the window? I'll let you be the judge of that. And on that note, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and bring on Brother and awesome author Gary Wayne tonight. We are so happy, so blessed, so pleased to have him share with us and we've heard also through the grapevine that his second book has finally hit the bookstores. So, wow, that's amazing stuff. Praise God, thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and bring him on right away. Hallelujah. Here we go.
Thank you.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Gary, are you there?
I am, and so happy to be back again tonight, and glad that all of the technical issues with the earthquake was straightened out. So, yeah, very happy to be back here today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Nancy kind of worded it as best as she could, but it wasn't the earthquake that took them down, but the earthquake definitely delayed them coming back up. Let's put it that way. I don't know about you, but I specialize. You know, think about it. Are you going to hang around in your job in Brooklyn if the earth is shaking? Oh, no. Everybody's going home.
Exactly.
They're going to be like, oh, exactly. This company. I'm out of here.
We're bugging out.
I know, right? I know. I told one lady that I worked with, she was in charge of keeping the company running. I won't mention the company, but anyways, a company on the waterfront in Florida, and they were working on, you know, disaster recovery and recovering all of the technological systems that kept the company up and running. And I went to her, and after they had been working on it a couple of years, I went over to her. Her name was Tricia, and I said to her, Tricia, have you considered that if a Cat 4 or 5 earthquake comes up this way, which is what you're preparing for, that none of the people on your disaster recovery team are going to be in town? And she goes, oh, my gosh. So anyway, praise God. Thank you for joining.
Yeah.
You know,
but, what's interesting?
Go ahead.
What you're interesting is what you're saying about the James Bond movie with 007, other than that connection to the Rosicrucian and mentor of Francis Bacon, John Dees, his number was 007. So, again, all of this imagery, it goes through everything that they do. Yeah, and he actually traveled through Europe for Queen Elizabeth as a spy. So, and he was really connected and sort of powerful. And the other thing is that it's my view that, you know, when we look at the sorrows and we look at the seal catastrophes, and the trumpet catastrophes, is that none of those are, you know, poured out, so to speak, by God as his wrath. That is contrived, I think, catastrophes that the forces that control the world are trying
Absolutely.
To do all of this. Yeah, so it doesn't matter whether it's pestilences that we've seen or the wars and the rumors of wars and the perpetual war parties that are in power and most of the democracies these days. All of these disasters are, you know, self-inflicted to bring about the end time before its ordained time. And so expect it to get worse and maybe even more targeted. So, yeah, I think all of that's on the table. And, you know, if that indeed is the case, then one would expect that they would include these things in their entertainment. And of course, they do. And they're just preparing people for it.
Yeah, I always tell people when I finally started to wake up to some of the things that were awful confusing is that and I try to make complicated things as simple as I can. And it was a revelation for me to understand that it's never going to be, you know, it's life on earth, life in our God, in our walk that we pray in Jesus' name is godly and righteous before his eyes. Is it, and not only that, but the things that the devil does, the things that the global satanic crime syndicate does, when you're trying to analyze it, it's never A or B or C. The answer is always D, all of the above. Did they have crisis actors at Sandy Hook? Yes. Did Sandy Hook actually happen? Yes. What they do is they exacerbate the problem. They add in the extra stuff to the dynamic to amplify the magnitude of the problem before the people of the world and freak them all out and all out of their stuff. But we already know we've been victims of it for a while now. But anyway, I'm turning the mic over to you. Thank you for joining us, Gary. It's exciting that the radio show actually is working. So God bless you. All yours.
Well, thank you. So I'm going to be talking about chapter 51 in book one of the Genesis 6 conspiracy, and then I'll talk a little bit towards the end of the show. I'll try and save, you know, about 15 minutes or so, and I'll just give people sort of a brief understanding about what book two is all about. And so I'll go through it so that you get sort of an understanding of it and you can get a better idea for that book. And also know that the book, book two and book one are on my website at the www.genesis6conspiracy.com, the number 6conspiracy.com. And I have a generous excerpt of all 98 chapters of book one and all 84 chapters of book two. And you don't have to have read book one to buy book two, but you'll find that each one of those books will lead you to want to read the other book. And if you're not very, very familiar sort of with scripture, or at least acquainted with scripture, you probably want to start with book one. But if you are intimate with scripture, then you're going to find book two an absolute gem. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. And it's doing quite well. So it's got 24 ratings up on Amazon.com, 23 are 5-star and 1 is 4-star. So very happy with that. Hoping that Amazon gets inventory into Canada and in inventory into England and Australia and New Zealand and other parts of the world. It's available on Kindle and all of those locations, but printed copies are going to be a ways away, but I do ship all over the world. So if you want to get a book earlier than what Amazon is going to deliver, if you're not in the U.S., you get a hold of me and I will ship you a book Tuesday or Wednesday. So chapter 51 is what we're going to be talking about tonight out of book one called The New Nimrod. And my reference to the new Nimrod is the coming Antichrist. Understanding there's going to be multiple antichrists, so we want to be careful not to get over our heels about trying to identify which one is antichrist, because antichrist is also going to need a false antichrist, one that would appear to be antichrist that he's going to defeat and have a counterfeit Armageddon war. So want to be careful, but I did want to cover in detail some of the things I talk about in book one with the new Nimrod, as I'm referencing what was before with what's going to be again. And so the chapter in book one opens with a pass from Daniel 8:23-24. And it says, in the latter part of their reign, this is the empire of Alexander, and then that split into the four kingdoms, and then the latter time as it sort of dovetails into the seven empires, 4 + 1 = 5, end time empire is 6, the Roman Empire that follows, that it comes out of the Greek Empire is 6, the end time empire is 7, and 8th will be Antichrist. Empire. So when it says in the latter part of their reign, they're talking now, referencing and moving into the end time. It says, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. And what's also interesting in that sort of the NIV, and I use that in book one, and book two I use the KJV, and in book one the reason why I use the NIV is for two reasons. One, I was trying to reach audience outside of Christianity, and I wanted the language a little bit easier for them, but more importantly for me, it's the Bible I came back to Christ with. So I couldn't really sort of understand the KJV at that time. You know, it just made my mind go to mush, although I do use it, I've used it a lot for decades and decades, but I had to ease into it and get an understanding that way. So always good to have multiple translations so you get a better sort of angles in terms of how verses are translated and a better, and I think a greater understanding. So what's interesting about Daniel 8:23-24, in the verses before you have Daniel 8:21-22, and it's talking about this, the definition of who, the interpretation of who this allegorical goat king is, and he's described as the king of Greece, but he's called the rough goat, and that's really interesting in that translation where it says rough. And it goes back to a word that means he-goat and hairy and a double goat god and a fawn and a few other meanings, but you sort of get the drift. And that's the Hebrew word sa'ir. which means a hairy watcher. Sa meaning hairy, ear meaning watcher, as in the watchers in Daniel 4. So you take that back to Hebrew. And sair is the word transliterated for satyr that shows up in Isaiah 13 and Isaiah 34. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this end time and Antichrist is described as a sair goat. We have to understand that Azazel, the leader of the watchers from the book of Enoch, not in the Bible, but the scapegoat, who the sins are sacrificed for in Leviticus 16 that we don't get reasons for, my speculation would be is for Azazel, who's the leader of the watchers and the likely one to be a bad Napoleon coming out of the abyss in Revelation 9. And that word scapegoat goes back to the Hebrew word Azazel. And that will also pop up a couple other times tonight, portions of that word. And that the king of Greece, is the great single horn, who is Alexander, and he's also the same imagery for that single unicorn, not as it's translated in the Bible from wild bull, as it should be, or as understood in the polytheist mythos as being this little horse. Maybe it was a single horn wild bull, but the definition is wild bull, but wild bull would be with a single horn would also be very appropriate because, you know, Nephilim and Raphaim were called bulls as well as tyrants. Both bulls and tyrants go back to the giants, and they were the bull sort of offspring of the bull gods, just as El and Molech and Baal were bulls, and bulls were associated with gods in other cultures. So the imagery sort of comes together, and same with the imagery of Azazel as being a goat god, as he's depicted in the occult, Baphomet for the Templars, or Pan, and many other gods that have a devil goat god imagery. And I think that's part of the degraded watcher aspect as they become satyrs for their sins against humanity and the sins against the earth and sins against the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at that passage and we're looking at Nimrod and Azazel, I'd like to just talk a little bit more about this vision of the goat that I lead the chapter into. And so the goat is Alexander, and the one who comes in, you know, in when the reign, the latter part of the reign as part of the beast empires, is Antichrist, is the one who comes. That's a stern-faced king and a master of intrigue, just as it's described in Revelation 13 and 2 Thessalonians 2. And what was really interesting is Daniel was absolutely astonished at this vision, just sort of blew his mind. And then he became faint and became sick. And nobody understood the vision that he provided people, which would have been very frustrating as a prophet at that time, that you're given the word of God and people don't want to either hear it or they can't understand it. And so it kind of goes back to Ecclesiastes 8, 1 verses 9 through 11, where it talks about what was will be again, and nothing is new under the sun. But even more so, in chapter 7, Ecclesiastes 1:18, you have at the end of it is that understanding what was will be again, and understanding wisdom brings grief, and knowledge brings much sorrow. So understanding of what has to take place in this world can maybe almost make you grief-driven and even become sick. And I think there's a relationship there to what happens with Daniel. He sees these visions of what happens with this master of this intrigue, the coming Antichrist figure, and the horrors that come with it I think it physically made him sick. And that when we look at Antichrist as being part of this series of empires, we also need to understand that Daniel 8 is not in conflict with the understanding that there are other, there's another prophecy for beast empires, which is Daniel 7. In Daniel 2, where it talks about the five empires described in those prophecies, it doesn't include Assyria and or Babel with Nimrod. You could look at it as either or both or as one, because Babylon and Assyria essentially come out of Nimrod and his original Babel city, and he establishes those empires after Babel. And Daniel 2 with the metallic empires. So Daniel 2, 7, and 8, they're just, 8's a little bit different, but it feeds on the beast imagery, which is different than the metallic. But they're both counting the seven empires that have to come, and then Antichrist will be the eighth. So you're just getting more information with the different prophetic allegory. They're not in conflict, and it's not one or the other. It's both. It's just good policy to look at it that way and not get into those wedge arguments, because Scripture isn't in conflict. And so we have the new Antichrist, which is part of the beast empires and part of the metallic empires. And he belongs to, the book of Daniel talks about, he belongs to these beast empires. And so what's coming is the beast empire. And he is the beast, as he's described in Revelation 13. So, again, we've talked in shows in the past about distinguishing the beast system from the beast empires, from the end-time beast empire, from the end-time Antichrist beast empire, and also Antichrist being called the beast. Don't conflate the concepts. Keep them distinct as they've been described to us. Gives you a better understanding how things will come together. So as you sort of mull all of that around in your mind, and we look at what's going around today, and if indeed we're in the fig tree generation, and I think that we are, and I don't think we're in the last 7 years yet, but I do think we're in the fig tree generation, that people tend not to ask in the last 20 years or so, if world government will come, or when will, or don't ask if world government will come, but when it will come and how it will come about. And we see the occult forces, the spurious forces, the polytheist forces consistently at work to bring about the world government and the universal religion, which is the end time period. And they want to bring that about before the ordained time, and they want to change the times as Antichrist wants to change the times. So we want to sort of factor that in, that we're not in the period of world government yet. We're still in the sorrows, and we're seeing the wars and the rumors of wars and the catastrophes of those sorrows that will start to bring about the chaos to allow these 10 kings to come to power. And that we have to have a universal religion that's going to be a part of this hierarchy that was part of all the beast empires before. So just as you have the woman riding the beast in Revelation 17, the beast empires, as the imagery depicts she's riding, she's going to hold the reins and be in control of those 10 kings. And so we need that universal religion to come into play with the false prophets and the apocalyptic doom to convert over to this new religion, lest we be destroyed from the face of the earth, and back to that sort of Babel syndrome as to why the people huddled in Babel City, from people that were told in standard dogma weren't there. But, of course, that's not quite true. As Book 1 and Book 2 cover off, the giants were there as aboriginals from early before the flood, whether through survival or second incursion or some other way, they show up before the Babel dispersion and occupy the lands that the people from Babel are going to migrate into. And So we're going to see these catastrophes go forward and get stronger, and we're going to need a war that Antichrist has to have, as we mentioned earlier, that is the counterfeit Armageddon that he puts part of his pedigree and credentials upon to deceive people that he is the Antichrist. And it is possible because Jesus warned us that it is. And so as we see them assembling the catastrophes, and I think they're contrived, as I talked about earlier, and all designed to create the chaos to cattle herd us into the open arms of the people who created the catastrophe with the solutions that they're going to deliver that just make it, but they say they're the only ones who have the answer. And in a manner that you see them working through the UN and the Club of Rome and other agencies who are all coalescing around splitting the world into 10 groups of nations or 10 empires. So look at it as a true global empire for the seventh empire that's coming, that Antichrist will take over from. And in Daniel 7:23-24, it says Antichrist will be distinct from the 10 kings, but also will have a beast empire, as Revelation 17 talks about. And the 10 kings will come to power, and I think through the rise of Babylon, but they're going to grow jealous of Babylon. And the 10 kings who come to power will then come to the little horn that's growing up, the unicorn, as they like to describe them in the occult. And they're going to hand them their power at the midpoint of the last 7 years to destroy Babylon. And so Babylon is the one in Daniel 9:27 who I think is the force behind the seven-year covenant that's going to be created to start that last week of years. And that's the entrance of Antichrist, but not his official crowning, which doesn't happen until the midpoint of the last 7 years at the abomination. And so Babylon makes the way for Antichrist, as we've talked in past shows. And that prophecy then demands that Babylon and the 10 kings are here before Antichrist and visibly in power as Antichrist is rising and will be a product of Babylon, I think, coming up through that Babylon system. He'll replace it with his Leviathan-like system and as it would be described as a type of system through that Hydra-like empire in Revelation 13 that rises out of the sea like a Leviathan, who also has multiple heads, or a Hydra serpent. And so the beast empire will have the seventh empire will have the same organizational structure as beast empires past, with that Babylon religion. And the daughter of Babylon, as those occult religions are described in the Old Testament. And that we need to understand that Babel is the source word for Babylon. So when you see the Babylon religion as it's translated into English from the Greek, one might imagine if it was all in Hebrew, it might have said Babel, still representing Babylon and Babylon city of the Babylonian Empire, but understanding that they also come from Nimrod. Thus, again, more relationships to Nimrod to Antichrist. And that Antichrist, when he does come to power, he's going to try and change the ordained times, as is described in Daniel 8. And that he is going to make war with heaven as well, as Daniel 8 also describes, and as Revelation 12 also describes. He's going to be part of that angelic war where he's going to throw down some of the starry host. And so Babylon will create, and the seventh empire of 10 kings will participate in the implementation and grow rich from the Babylon beast system. And most people in Christianity may not be aware that the spurious forces actually talk about the Babylon system being in place today and will be in place until the Leviathan system, which they want to bring about sooner than later because they want to bring about the end time, will replace that Leviathan system. And when they talk about the Leviathan system, that's their allegory for Satan and for Antichrist and for the beast empire system that will have all of that angelic technology that's in place for Antichrist for when he comes to power. And so Babylon Empire makes the way for the Antichrist Empire. And Antichrist will actually, with the Ten Kings, destroy Babylon and put up a new religion for himself, as Revelation 17 and Daniel 11 discuss. So again, watch out for how things need to unfold and not get ahead of end time chronology, lest we deceive people ourselves and lose our credibility. So we want to be careful with prophecy. And so it is the platform that we see rising around us today that is being built, but it still requires Babylon, the false prophets, and these wars to bring about these bloodline empires that are forming around the world. And you see Xi, you see Putin, you'll see more like that. And they will be acquiring these empires through catastrophe opportunities and through war. And we're going to see more of it. So what we see going on in the Middle East today with Israel, that's just part of the Soros. It's not World War III yet. It's part of the whole bringing about of that counterfeit Armageddon for Antichrist. And this World War III, as I would describe it, and I think it's the Gog War that's in the last days, but yet before Second Exodus that happens in the last half of the last 7 years, as described in Daniel 38 and 39 that way, and is also the Joel 1 and 2 War that happens before the Armageddon War in Joel 3. And these are the same creatures in Joel 1 and 2 that are in the same description of those creatures that come about in the army of Chimera armies and really weird riders. They're described the same way in Joel 1 and 2 as they are in Revelation 9, and I actually put those two columns together in one of the chapters in my new book, so you can see how they're talking about the same identical creatures. That, and this war happens after the opening of the pit prison in Revelation 9, which happens before the midpoint of the last 7 years. And so all of those worst things that had happened in previous times and those participants in those events of prehistory and history that are locked in the prison, the mighty ones, as in the Gibberim describing Rephaim and Nephilim, the terrible ones, as described in Ezekiel 32, in the sides of the pit, in the sides of the pit prison, and also the mighty El, the mighty angels that are in there that are talking to Pharaoh. All of these creatures committing crimes before and after the flood will be let out to join the rest of the host of the rebellious ones, and will be part of bringing Antichrist to power. And as we look at that world government and that platform that is being built, understand there has to be that counterfeit Armageddon to ultimately bring this about. And then afterwards, as Daniel 11 in the book of Luke talks about, Antichrist will move his armies into Jerusalem and set up the abomination. And so when we look at the counterfeit things that need to happen to emulate Jesus, he's going to need a false prophet. We've talked about that in a few shows past about the false prophet will be the Elijah that's going to make the way for Antichrist, but there's also false prophets to make the way for Babylon. So we're going to see a series of those, and that we're going to see events and things happen quickly and in ways when this thing really heats up, that it's going to have a whole life and a whole momentum of its own as the spirit of the Antichrist comes to power. And so there's an interesting thing as we look at that spirit of the Antichrist, as we look at the abyss being opened, as we look at Nimrod and Rephaim and Nephilim and the disembodied spirits that we understand as demons that are also being let out as the terrible ones, and all the demons and the angels and the other possible creations that they created, they're all going to be working to bring about this great deception. And a lot of the details are part of understanding prehistory to understand the context of the end time. So as we take that back to the new Nimrod, Antichrist is going to be like Nimrod, more successful, probably more directly related in his creation, either through bloodline descendancy and or a recreation of a Nephilim, the Nephilim or a Rephaim-like creature to who's going to be the rising Antichrist. So we need to be open to both. And we're going to see other, like I say, Antichrist figures who are going to have terrific credentials. We have to make sure we stay our eye on the ball and really critically analyze through scripture, through the chronology that we're provided, what is taking place, and not be deceived. And so if we look at Nimrod compared to Antichrist as the new Nimrod, it's interesting that Nimrod made, according to the Septuagint, his reputation on fighting giants, which to me makes sense because there were the aboriginals in the land before the people left with the Babel dispersion. And hence we have Nimrod as being being called a mighty one. And so he was a great warrior against these giants. He's a mighty hunter and a warrior. And with this war that is coming with Armageddon, Antichrist is going to be the greatest general, the greatest tactician, strategician of the art of war. And takes credit for winning that counterfeit Armageddon. One might even expect he might even be involved on wars before that, but speculation. But we want to be watching for that. And so Nimrod became a mighty one, a gibor, giborim as we know it as the plural, as a mighty one. And mighty ones as it shows up as terrible ones. In plural with the Eretim in Hebrew. And he was a mighty hunter and warrior before God. And Antichrist is going to show warrior type of capabilities. And in Daniel 8, he is described as being strong and mighty. And that's the Hebrew word etzam. And it is included in that understanding of, and I talk about this in book two, about the powerful nature of these Rephaim beasts, that they had the ability with their hands to crush bones with their bare hands of humans. And that he's also called strong. And in another passage, and he is in the book of Daniel, and strong goes back to the Hebrew word azaz, and azaz meaning powerful. And he is actually called stout in the book of Daniel as well. And stout is not as in fat. It's stout as in wide and muscular, just as the bed of Og was 9 cubits by 4 cubits wide. So a 2-to-1 height, the width ratio versus the 3-to-1 of the average human. So he's going to be quite strong and powerful. And in Daniel 7:20, he's described as more stout than the other kings. as it's translated into English. So understand that there is a connection to the giants here somehow, some way. And just as Nimrod was similarly became Shalal, broke his vows through rituals, through the abuse of knowledge that he may have inherited, somehow he becomes Gibberim, and he starts to marry into the giant bloodlines and creates those dynasties of the beast empires out of the Mesopotamia region. And so in legend, in Jewish legend, and in the Gnostic and secret society account, Nimrod had great hubris and narcissism, and he railed against God from the tower being built, even that he would go into heaven and kill God if he tried to bring about another flood or did things that he didn't like. Well, again, that is Antichrist-like. He will speak things that are unheard of, both as the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation tell us, and as we talked a few minutes ago, will go into heaven and try and do what Nimrod couldn't do, or all the Antichrist wannabes who were leading the beast empires. Given the opportunity as an Antichrist wannabe leading those beast empires, just as Antichrist will lead the beast empire of the end time, they all wanted to be Antichrist and had probably the spirit of the Antichrist, always looking for that opportunity to work and partner with one of those kings to bring about the end time before its time. And so Nimrod ruled over all of the Adamites. Well, when Antichrist comes to power, he's going to be the king of the world. Includes all of the Adamites and all the descendants of the giants as well. And so again, you have that sort of parallel. He'll be like a new Nimrod. And he will impose his own Babel type of religion. His religion will come out of the Babylon religion that he does destroy, and then they will worship a similar but distinct kind of polytheism and a god that his fathers never knew or never worshipped. So probably an antediluvian god, because we only sort of associate the pantheons these days in terms of the heads of those pantheons with offspring gods that ruled after the flood, where the parent gods ruled before the flood and were sent to the abyss prison. And then the offspring gods who ruled and did the same crimes sometime after Babel probably, or just before, but certainly enough time to do the same crimes as the parents did before the flood, they also went to the pit prison, which is why you don't see Baal showing up as the head of the Baalim after Babel. I mean, he's like an invisible god. He's not walking amongst humans. Why? Because he's in the pit prison. And so Jewish legend also says that Nimrod was the mightiest warrior since the creation of the world. These are the Ginsburg legends, and again, interesting reading, but where they differ with the Bible, make sure you side with the Bible. That's how I do all of my research. He was the mightiest warrior since the creation of the world, and there has been none like Nimrod, a mighty hunter of men and beasts. That's how he's described in Jewish legend. And again, we see in Revelation 13:4, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with the beast? Again, the analogy is there. Nothing, what was will be again. A mighty hunter of men and beasts. I wonder what kind of beasts Antichrist might be hunting in the end time, if that analogy holds true. We could see things that we've never expected before. And Nimrod became Gibberim. So we need to understand that his father was still Cush. And so something changed, probably, as I talked about, the rituals, the polytheism, the oaths, and the knowledge that from the knowledge religion of polytheism that he probably received. And he probably received significant help from demons, you know, disembodied spirits of giants that weren't in the pit prison, because not all of them went there, and from fallen angels. And that will be very much similar to Revelation 13:4, where the dragon gives the power to the beast, and all worshiped him, and all worshiped Nimrod. And just as Nebuchadnezzar put up a statue for people to worship in penalty upon death. So we need to understand those beast empires to understand who the new Nimrod is going to be and what he's going to do. So I always found chapter 51 was a very sort of eye-opening transition chapter with prophecy and prehistory combining to give us that larger understanding of what the end time is going to be. And so look for a connection perhaps with the son of perdition that Antichrist is called, with being connected to the one who comes up out of the pit prison in Revelation 17, and a connection to the one who comes up out of the pit prison is also going to kill the two witnesses in Revelation 11. So there may be a connection here between Antichrist and Azazel, or some other disembodied terrible one spirit. So they're a team that may be working with Antichrist to help come to power. So, and also remember, as we talked about before, he also Antichrist and false prophets also receive their power from Satan and the dragon, 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. So I wanted to take a couple of minutes here to talk a little bit about book two, and I'll expand more on Nimrod and a number of things in different ways in book two than in book one. And so the reason why I wrote book two was because all the people that got a hold of me and said what we would like is somebody to go deeper into the Bible than has gone before. We want a book that talks about giants and prehistory and all the things that we need to know about it and how that connects to end time prophecy, if at all. And of course it does, because, and as I start to explain in book two, is that the Adamites were created to be the resolution to the angelic rebellion. And so that comes to full completion for the most part at the Armageddon battle. And then it's off to the lake of fire for the fallen angels and all of the demons and all of those that took the mark of the beast and worshiped Satan and Antichrist in the last 3.5 years. And then comes the millennium, where there's some more things to play out before we move on into eternity. But only Satan does not go there, and he's put in the pit prison for 1,000 years, and then brings about another war at the end of that millennium. And so when I decided to write book two, I thought I needed to do it in a way that hadn't been done and something that's unique. And that's exactly what I thought the audience was asking me to do. And so as unique as book one is, because there's no other book on the market that's like it, even to this day, and it's been out for about 9 years now. In book two, this is as unique as book one, but in a different way. And I put all of the end notes in. It has more annotation notes than book one does. And there's over 100 pages of end notes in book one, but I put them as footnotes and on the page, and put a lot of information in on the page so that you can look at what you're reading and see the footnote, and then read more about some of that if you wanted to. And it's unique in a way that it is like book one, but on steroids for Christians. And it's like a lot of work that Dr. Heiser did, but on steroids. So it's going to go deeper into meanings of words and the context of those words than what you've seen before. And it's all annotated for you to check the veracity of what I'm saying. And when I look at book two, it's like the invisible ones and the visible ones working together, as we're talked about in Colossians 1, and that we fight not just against flesh and blood, but the rulers, powers, and principalities, and all these unclean spiritual forces in high places, as part of that resolution to the angelic rebellion, because they never wanted us created, the fallen angels, and they've been trying to wipe us from the face of the earth ever since, just as Israel and the polytheist forces swore to wipe Israel from the face of the earth and still try to this very day. So book two has seven different sections in it. And they're set up purposefully. And in the preface that comes before, I will also provide my approach to prophecy in my research so that you can understand how I come to my chronology as I provide as we get further into the book. So it's important to read the preface, but you may come back and reread the preface, as a lot of people do, and things will start to make sense as well from that perspective as well. And so in section one, I provide seven chapters, and the section is called Giants, Demons, and Angels. And this is all essential information to understand the rest of the book, to understand the Bible. It's not, you can't put everything in one section, but you can put the information in there that you need to understand what the Bible is talking about. And I will provide all of the annotations for you. I'll have it all right there in front of you. So I'm going to talk, and I lead section one with the days of Noah and Lot. And I want people to know how we know how the days of Noah is a generation and links into the fig tree generation, and that we're encouraged to learn more about the days of Noah and Lot as it transitions into the destruction of fire with Sodom. I talk about the giants of old, and I put in there, it's a bit long, but I put in the complete etymology of giant as it comes from Greek into English, and how that connects back through the Septuagint and other sources back to the Hebrew in the Bible, and shows you that, yes, it can mean earthborn as in gigantic, but gigantic is rooted in another Greek word, gigas, and I'll talk about the plurals and the singular form so you have the enunciation so you can see the etymology. And I will talk about these giants in ways that you haven't seen in what I call chapter two, the giants of old. And then I'm going to go into, as we go through, I'm going to have a complete chapter. I do have a complete chapter on the difference between Nephilim, Gibeon, and Raphaim. And again, show you sources and applications so that you understand the difference, because you have to understand the difference between those words. And that Gibeon can mean a giant, just as it may be described accurately in Joshua 16, but it typically means a mighty one to describe a giant or an angel or God's power or humans like most of David's mighty men. It doesn't always mean giant. You need to know the difference. I'm going to cover off completely demons, devils, and unclean spirits as it's defined biblically, so that we can understand that these demons and devils, the word daemon, that is used in the New Testament for devils that Jesus is dealing with versus diablos for the devil, as in Satan, is the Greek word daemon. I'm going to show you how we know biblically that these are demons. And I'm going to go through also the sons of God argument and how we know they're humans and or how we know they're not humans and how we know they're angels, and provide all of that. I'm going to lead into the serpent seed line. That is a little bit different than the common known one, and take that into the serpent's root and take that into the branch of the terrible ones and into the seed of the evil ones in Psalms 21 through 8 to 10 that are going to be destroyed in the end time in the year of the Lord's wrath, and also talk about something that I call the habitation for angels, humans, and demons, the oikitarian, and is the full understanding for how angels reproduce and how we know angels can take bodily form. So you need all of this information just to understand what's going on in the Bible and what's going to go on in prophecy. So it's important to understand that as a platform. And I do it in a way that nobody's done it before in section one. Section two is about what I call the hierarchy of the Nephilim. And I'm going to cover off the 70 nations and the assembly of gods in a way and a level that's not been done before. And I'm going to also talk about Satan, Hallel, and Lucifer, and Hallel as God of hell. And I'm going to talk about this realm of the Nephilim versus Nephilim. Nephilim as being the fallen ones of the Shemaim, the heavenly ones. And that assembly of the gods and how that works in the visible assembly and how that works on the earth. And to know that, we also need to understand the hierarchy of the holy angels and the rebellious angels and know that it's a counterfeit of the rebellious hierarchy is the counterfeit of the loyal hierarchy. And so you can use sort of both for understanding that. And I'm going to go through and describe it in ways that it's establishes the hierarchy a little bit different than Dionysius's church father put down that most of the hierarchy is placed in. It just doesn't make sense with what the New Testament says in Greek and with where archangels fit. So I'm going to give you that order. I'm going to go through who Satan is as the anointed of angels, give you an idea of how many different names he might have had in the different positions that he's had. I'm going to cover how that connects into the Baalim assembly on Mount Hermon and how we get there biblically, and also using the Ugaritic text through here to show a parallel account that's talking about the same thing that the Bible is doing in this section. I'm going to finish off with Mount Hermon, the Hermonim, of Mount Hermon, Ugarit, and Sumer, Mount Zion, and Har Megiddon, and how those connect back together, and the unicorns of Mount Hermon. And then in section three, I'm going to go through something that I talk about in these shows that I do on Tribulation Radio about the hybrids. So I'm going to cover off all the different hybrids nations that are listed in the Bible, and that I'm going to show you how we know they're hybrids. And when I talk about hybrids, these are hybrid human and giant versus hybrid human and angel, and that these were tall but not as tall as the Rephaim giants after the flood. And so I'm going to tell you the patriarchs for the patriarchless Canaanites in Genesis 10, and we're going to talk about other ones and show you how that fits into the military and the history of the military complex of the covenant land that Israel marched into in the time of the Exodus. Section 4, I'm going to go through the whole, what I call the post-Diluvian Rephaim world order. All the giant nations that are listed in the Bible, I am going to provide you those names and how we know they are tribes, and just give you as much as I can biblically and from other sources that are biblically aligned about who these people were, where they lived, and how they fit into the whole organized giant hegemony of the early post-Diluvian world. And so there's names that are going to be in there that you may not be familiar with, but I'll show you how we get there. In section 5, I'm going to cover off all of the wars of the giants. So I'm going to cover off the giant war in Genesis 14, obviously, but I'm going to cover off the Battle of Athrum, Rephidim, the Eastern Campaign, the Central, Northern, Southern Campaign, the Wars of the Judges, the Wars of the Monarchy, and show you how all of those relate back to that who the Israelites were fighting were giants and hybrid giants. And section 6 is a transition from prehistory and history and into prophecy. And I'm going to use all of the terms and things that I used to get there. And in that section, I'm going to also cover off who the Jesuits are, how they were formed, how they connect to all the organizations that I describe in book one, and show you how that fits and introduce you to the Thelemic trees and the organizational structure of those secret societies. and start getting into some prophecy connections into the end time, like the scorpion creatures versus the Acrabamaloo, talk about the second and third woes, and just get ready for section 7, which is the fig tree generation, where I'm going to lay down the chronology of the last generation and then go through specific aspects and laying that chronology down. I'm going to cover off Babylon, the seven hills of Babylon, Babylon B system, the four horses of the apocalypse, the tribulation of the saints, the great tribulation, the elect in the time of Jacob's trouble, Antichrist, the beast of empires, Antichrist, reign of terror, the year of the Lord's wrath, and finish it off with Armageddon. And you're going to have all the sources right there for you in the footnotes.
Wow, praise God. That is amazing. And folks, if you want to take a look at the book, it is available now. And I do highly recommend checking out Gary's website, Genesis number 6 conspiracy, one word, Genesis6conspiracy.com. And sure enough, right there on the main page, Gary has the Genesis 6 Conspiracy Part 2 book right on the main page now. And, you know, so again, an excellent opportunity to be able to go, you know, layers deeper into his research and stuff that I don't think anybody in the world has even attempted to dig into. So praise God. It's just absolutely amazing. And Gary, again, I cannot thank you enough for joining us tonight. I know you're a very busy guy and touring. You know, we heard that you were visiting with Brother Zen Garcia recently, and it's just fabulous. We're glad that you're getting, you know, the information out there and helping people to at least touch the tip of the iceberg in your visits to various programs such as this, because the depth of these books, the thickness of the research is beyond anything I personally have ever seen. So anyway, it's really, really fabulous work. Thank you so much, Brother Gary, for joining us tonight. God bless you, brother. Oh, he already dropped, so he's probably hidden. Or no, wait, it says that he dropped, but no, he's still there. Hold on a second. He called back in. Are you there? Are you there, Gary?
I am. It did drop, but I called back before.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say thank you so much, as always, because this is it really wets the whistle. It gets the people, you know, introduced to what they are going to be deep diving into as they, research the information that you've researched in your books, and it's just absolutely fabulous. And I just wanted to say thank you so much again for joining us.
Well,
tonight.
Thank you. It's
just in the nick of time.
Also underline, it's my humble pleasure to be in a position to be able to do so.
Oh, amen. Praise God. God save such as have a contrite spirit. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Brother Gary. God bless you. We will see you same time next month, providing that Cinchcast Broadcasting stays, you know, and then you know, if anything happens to Blog Talk Radio, I hope it doesn't, because it's one of the last places on earth, really, that where we can do this kind of work without being YouTube censorized. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you, Brother Gary. He has dropped again. I don't know if it was accidental or not, but it's probably because he has to move to another show. He is a very, very in-depth guy, as you can tell. Now, praise Jesus. So anyway, you know, again, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know, you know, there's, I think it's one of the most blessed things before I dive into some of this amazing information. And I may even cut it up. I might edit, but oh gosh, I'm going into a really humongous project at work. So, but anyway, let me go ahead and share with you some of this information. So I was, just many years ago, I used to play all the time 007 music and talk about A View to a Kill. And I was having that conversation with Sister Elena. And I said, you know, what happens if, because it's always A, B, it's never just A, did the evil ones make the earthquake happen? Well, the answer will be yes, they did. They have the alien tech. It's down in Antarctica. We have the testimony. All right, but it's much more than just HAARP, okay? There's multiple old-fashioned HAARP systems that are just ionospheric heaters, and I could get into the technology behind all of that. It's very but we don't have time. Okay, now we have the testimony of that fellow. Now, was he telling the truth? Sure seems like it. And he did even go as far as to say that he was going to try to report it to the authorities, which, of course, on his, you know, they're going to kill him. So, you know, that's just how it works. You know, that kind of information is not the kind of information you want to learn. And then, you know, above top secret type information and alien tech and lasers and nuclear. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, I don't want to waste any more time with that. We have to move. So right now I'm going to play for you. Okay, this was recorded a pretty long time ago, and the reason why I say this, I don't have the date. Nobody was able to produce the date. Nobody spoke the date in any of the feed, but someone by the name of Shannon Crawford asked the question, does anyone know when this was recorded? Now, what I can tell you is that it was a while ago, and you might say, John, how do you know? Because I used to be an avid researcher under Project Camelot. Back in 2007, 2008, 2009. So the Lord led me where he led me. Now, I guess we'll just see how everything goes. But anyway, I'm going to play this for you because we're going to run out of time super fast. We always do. Here we go. This is from Project Camelot from way back, long time ago. And how do I know? Because I see Carrie Cassidy. Carrie Cassidy looks like she's in her 20s. You know, her late 20s or early 30s, maybe mid 30s. I don't know. But she's doesn't look this. And you can tell just by her age in the video. Now, that she's interviewing a person by the name of Richard Allen Miller, and she calls him a top physicist. And he predicts, she also says that he's predicting a major event that is coming. Now, let's listen to what this physicist. Now, please remember, whenever we go back in time, there are going to be things that whistleblowers believe that they weave into their testimony that are going to throw you for a loop because they don't, you don't know what you don't know. Just please take that to heart. You don't know what you don't know. And learning things is iterative. I hope you understand the word iterative. You have to learn this layer, then you learn the next layer. The Bible even says lines upon lines, precepts upon precepts, here a little, there a little. That's how it works. Now then, I can tell you from my experience that this is, I would estimate this is probably 2015 or earlier vintage based upon the youthful imagery of Carrie Cassidy, and the guy's name is Richard Allen Miller. Let's listen what he has to say about this year. Here we go.
Happen, but the study with the dive suggests that it's going to happen in late March or early April. There's going to be a major earthquake-like shift in continental plates that will change geography significantly. And the one I'm guessing, I don't know. Okay. March, April, 2024. Excuse me.
Bingo.
Now that's okay. Right then, what will happen, my guess, is that there's a volcano off of Crescent City. It's out in the ocean. And it's active right now. And when that goes, the entire coastline from Alaska all the way down is going to shift, that plate's going to shift, and everything west of I-5 is gone.
Cascadia subduction zone.
Edgar Cayce predicted that.
Cascadia.
He called it New Jerusalem
zone.
When Seattle.
All right. Now, he started to speculate, but we know from years of experience that, okay, so you heard what he said. Now, what could be is that this could have been much more recently recorded, and that the imagery of Carrie Cassidy might be tricking me a little bit because it's a static image, where the other guy is not a static image. So this may have been recorded more recently. I do not know. But when he brought up the year 2024, the way he did it implied that he was talking about this in another time. Okay, not the year 2024. You understand? Or else he wouldn't have paused. You know, he wouldn't have said, I'm talking about 2024. So this is very, very fascinating. Do I think that we've had a guest on this show not too long ago, a couple years ago. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she testified. She said that the Lord told her that the Cascadia Subduction Zone event was going to be a major judgment. Now, you might ask the question, but you got to get your roots down. This is so hard to communicate. Is it God's judgment or is it the devil? Is it God's judgment or is it the devil? The problem here that we're dealing with is it can be both. Okay, the alignment of the planets. Thank you, Sister Rachel Baxter. But again, there are other sites that are deviating slightly, but it's hard to find the actual, you know, and I don't have 100% trust in ChatGPT myself. The point I'm trying to say is even if there's a marginal alignment, marginal, in other words, it's not a perfect alignment. The think of it, we'll call it gravity because that's what everybody was taught in school. The gravitational Newtonian event would be very significant in the sense that the gravity is additive. The other challenge is you've got another solar system, the Nibiru Planet X solar system that is inside of our solar system. Okay, because they move through one another. We already know that because we can see the video evidence of it. I told you about the three moons that the young lady had seen, okay, the video of that. Now, throw in the seven other planets, throw in the eclipse, okay, the eclipse itself, the shadow of the sun and everything on the Earth, that's nothing. We've had gazillions of those. Nothing ever happens. Okay, so everybody's wondering, what is going on? Why are all these emergency alerts and schools being closed down and all that other stuff? Well, because so is anything going to happen? Well, that's ultimately up to our Heavenly Father. However, since 2019, I don't know if you can think of any, but I cannot think of one single thing that the forces of darkness have desired to do that has been stopped. The only surprise was Donald Trump in 2016. Now it's raising the pitch because and we know what's going on with all that. So let me stay focused on tomorrow because I'm afraid I'm going to run out of time. All right, I'm going to play this for you. I do not know the exact date that he had this conversation, but I want to play a little bit of it for you. It's unfortunately 25 minutes long. I don't have that kind of time, but it's a Joe Rogan episode that you can pull up on your own. Let's listen to what he says here because it's amazing.
Hi, my name is Art Gilliland, and I'm the CEO of Galicia. Our team is very honored to be named.
Yellowstone Supervolcano, it's a caldera volcano. Like, they didn't realize that it was so big until somewhere in, like, the 2000s, I think it was, they did satellite imagery, and they realized, oh, my God.
All right. Well, that's unfortunate. What happened was there was a snippet of this 25-minute thing, and I'll fill you in. Basically, Joe Rogan, the title of the YouTube video is Joe Rogan revealed that Yellowstone just increased its power. In other words, the likeliness that it's going to explode by 376%. We are doomed, this particular person calls themselves Eternity. I don't know why. We got a lot of New Agers out there. It gets really confusing, folks, and a lot of people who think different things that are not necessarily accurate, but that's okay. You know, as Christians, we love one another and we are humble and we listen to the different possibilities and we can research the different things. But the fact that Rogan's out there telling everybody today, okay, and unfortunately it got taken down. Okay, now why it got taken down, I don't know. But what I do know is that his claim, what he was doing was telling the truth. the super volcano, so the Yellowstone, the geysers have been popping off like crazy. Okay, when this, what cools the magma in the earth? Okay, what cools the magma in the earth? The spinning of the core, the spinning of the core. Okay, now when the heliosphere, which is a like magnetic field of a type from the sun, is perturbed, like it there's a point of stability that it stabilizes and everything's fine and all the planets are doing exactly what they're going to do, but it's not like that anymore. We have the Iorio paper published by Cornell, you know, the eccentricity of the moon, you know, the things that are happening out there, the signs in the sun and the moon and the star seas roaring, the power signs and lying wonders, all these kinds of things, they're all happening. You can see them with your eyes. They're out there. And then to have Rogan with his millions of viewers and listeners talking about how there are crevasses, there are cracks in the earth that are fissures that are opening up in different places around Yellowstone. That's very fascinating because that puts us really, we got Popocatépetl, we're trying, at least I thought we were trying, and Sister Nancy, I don't know, I'll ping her again and see if she can try to go after once again. She gets very busy and sometimes, but anyway, let's move on to the next one. All right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. So, this, if you haven't heard it, you need to hear it. I'm going to play it. These are people who were watching Fox News, and it was the Fox News report on the earthquake that had its epicenter, surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, on the Donald Trump golf course. Okay, right. Okay, so these are them recording Fox News live. Listen to what they recorded. Listen to what they said on Fox News when they were talking about the earthquake, the 4.8 in the New Jersey, New York area. Let's listen to what they said. Let's just see what they say. Here we go.
It's an earthquake in 140 years, John.
Look at all that. And it's not over yet because we've got the eclipse earthquake coming up on Monday. As Deborah Ross was telling us, it's going to be a transformative experience.
Okay, now I hope you heard that. I sent that video over to Reverend Tracy Shellman, and she said, did you see the look on the face of the other newscaster, the lady? And it was like, it was so telling. So anyway, it was almost like the guy let the cat out of the bag, and he did. And was it a Freudian slip? Well, I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see. But you heard it. It came right from the mouth of the person that was part of the media team that was discussing the earthquake that had happened, up in the New Jersey, New York area. Okay. So anyway, this is very important to take note of. Also, CNN Travel has an article up there. This is all part of the same picture. It's all part of that earthquake thing. I don't think I'll be able to get to any of the other news, which is so much of it. I'm reading this to you. So this is very important. Listen to this. All right. Praise God. All right. CNN Travel reports that part of the famed California highway is crumbling into the ocean right now. They have photography. There are photographs of this, and sure enough, the cliffs that are holding together, I don't know, what do they call it, I-1 or something like that, that goes right along the cliffs of, you know, it's beautiful, but it's crumbling. So there's a photograph right here of that freeway where they have it marked all off with pylons and stuff and telling people, and they got people, you know, they've got to redirect traffic because the highway is breaking away. Okay, is this all part of the same thing? There are several 4+, 4.5 earthquakes that have been happening and some more powerful ones in the 5s and the 6 categories in different parts of the world. Now, I don't want to turn into Dutch sense, but I'm just saying the rumblings that are occurring on the earth right now, it makes it appear that this is a combination of the natural occurrences and the control that God has over the solar system ultimately, but it's all of the above. You see where I'm heading with this? And I had that conversation. I mentioned it. I'm honest to goodness, I wouldn't exaggerate this. I was having this conversation with Elena. She said, boy, do I feel like things are close. And then So you can't deny the hand of God. Okay, so when you but then you've got the forces of darkness. So which is it? Is it Satan? Is it God? Is it Satan? Is it God? I used to get upset with people that always blamed everything on HARP. It's both. They know these entities. Look, does Satan know? Did they know when the wormholes are going to go open? Do they know when the ley lines are lined up appropriately between the planets and the power, all this other stuff? Do they know with CERN how to bring over these creatures, these demons? Do they have a section of CERN that is set up just for the purpose of bringing demons from other dimensions? Yes, they do. All right, praise God. So then, of course, you got a lot of people saying, "Oh no, alert, alert, alert! The devil's comet is coming. Stunning green devil's comet is likely to appear during the total solar eclipse on April the 8th. Okay, now, in the past, there have been people that, for whatever reason, seem to think that the appearance of a particular comet was some sort of harbinger of doom. And, you know, until we get to that actual meteor, meteor that slams into the ocean at the beginning because of the great earthquake in Revelation 6:12 and in Ezekiel 38:19, I think it is, there's two great earthquakes, but they're not separate. They're the same. They're the same events, okay? But that's this devil's comet. They can call it whatever they want to call it. Call it Saint. I do not see that from a scientific standpoint. And remember, God created science. He created physics. He created the dimensions. He created the universes. He created the trillions of life forms and the other parts of the universe. You know, when you understand cosmology and how the universes are made up and how the dimensions are made up and how the, you know, and when a giant was killed, its soul energy became a demon. Okay, you know, and this is spoken of in the book of Enoch. So again, there's a whole lot to this stuff. Okay, on Astronomy Magazine, I'm reading this to you because I looked it up for the show. Powerful eruptions on the sun might trigger earthquakes. This is something that I've had guests that have degrees in physics and stuff like, you know, that kind of thing, work for the military and the black ops and stuff on this program, and they did not realize that perturbations in the sun, when the sun's heliosphere gets dorked up and all the electromagnetism and all the gravity and blah, 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 and all this energy and the neutrinos and all that, it causes the core of the Earth to slow down, and then the center of the Earth gets really hot. It's like a bubbling pot. And what happens when your pot bubbles? It bubbles over. So then you have more and more volcanoes. What do we have now? More and more volcanoes. You have more and more tectonic plate action. You've got all these things that are happening right now. You see what I'm saying? So I'm reading this to you. Listen, powerful eruptions on the sun might trigger earthquakes. Ground-shaking earthquakes occur across the globe, blah, 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 and they talk about it. They talk about the different scientists that have investigated it over the years. But I have brought this up on the program before with guests who were infinitely more qualified than myself to understand these things, and they said, wow, they didn't realize it. All right, praise God. So just presenting that, because we know there's been an exceedingly large amount of solar activity recently, okay, and we also have prophecies. Now, understand that, you know, I'm a very prophecy-oriented sort of a guy. Okay, I'm very prophecy-oriented, and I'm very careful nowadays because Jesus warned us in these days in the Olivet Discourse that there would be a rise of false prophets. Now, it's so complicated because it doesn't mean everybody is, and then you've got the seducing spirits that were prophesied by Stanley Frotcham and the Stanley Frotcham prophecy. And then you've got the problem with the demons being able to snatch the power of a person's prayer out of the hands of their angel in the spiritual realm and use that to deceive people on the earth that believe they're hearing from God. So we're living in some incredibly confusing times. All right. So I'm doing the best that I can to present as much information so that you are aware. It's not, you know, because people are going to say, oh, it's God shaking the earth. Oh, it's Satan doing this. Oh, it's that strange alien tech out of Antarctica. That's what it is. And the problem is it's not A or B or C. It's D. All of the above. Get it? All right. So then you've got this headline that came out, praise God. The New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision announced its plans to cancel visitations at nearly two dozen facilities in the path of totality on April the 8th. All right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Also, closures and warnings for the eclipse include schools. I'm not going to be able to go through here and read every single possible school. And by the way, since this article came out talking about the different, so it includes schools, food, medicine, gas. They're telling people to stock up on these things. They got emergency alerts going out on TV channels all over the place. People are flipping out, man. And and I'm just saying, you know, why? Because we've had gazillions. How many? I mean, since I've been alive, we've had plenty of eclipses. Okay, and why would an eclipse that's going over the United States be so much different than eclipses that go over Zimbabwe? Okay, or whatever the case is. You know, we're just very American-centric. Okay, but anyway, but America is the city without any walls in Ezekiel 38. So we're seeing the unfolding of these things. Now, my personal belief is that all of this, the Psalm 83 war, the Gog and Magog invasion, all of these wars are part of World War III. Why is that? Well, Albert Pike told us. We already see what they're doing. They're bringing all of the Muslims into all the different countries of the world. They're intermingling, you know, and they're doing it on purpose. When they bring the Civil War out and they're giving them guns for free, or not necessarily for free, but they're giving them free money. All right, the traffic, the Supreme Court warns about the solar eclipse, excessive traffic in the Rochester area potentially delaying commutes to court. Police are putting out all kinds of warnings. It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is unbelievable. People are like even kind of like thumbing their nose at it and saying that's absolutely ridiculous. Why would an earth, you know, why would an eclipse cause any kind of a problem? Well, the thing is, you know, you've got our Heavenly Father. You've got, you know, Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. He didn't say that it wasn't going to be caused by the technology, the alien tech. Where did the ancient Sumerians come up with all of their tech? How did they understand algebra? How come they were one of the most the library systems? The things, if you study the ancient Sumerians, it's absolutely mind-bending. Where did they get that stuff from? Well, the Book of Enoch explains that the fallen angels brought it down and essentially taught them. Were the ancient Sumerians from this earth? That's what I ask. See, when you add in my understanding of the cosmology, not just me, but many, 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 many other people, and you understand the alien-esque, fallen angel-esque, the spaceships, the 26-mile-wide spaceships that are bigger. There are many that are even larger than that. I have seen them with my eyes. Okay, now I'm not talking about walking out in my front yard and seeing them. I'm talking about, you know, there were days when people would, I don't know, I wonder if they killed Peter. The guy Peter that used to call himself BP Oil Disaster. I miss him because his research was fantastic and I saved a lot of his videos. He would snatch down imagery of very, very large spaceships, in some cases bigger than the Earth. Okay. And he would photograph, he would take the high resolution photographs and he would show them to people. And he, in context, so he would zoom in on the sun with stereo A and stereo B, and he would say, ooh, you know, he had a very low, slow talking sort of a way, and he was into astronomy and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it was amazing the stuff that he filmed around the sun, because it's not that those spaceships aren't out there all the time. It's just that because of the sun being nearby them, you were able to see through stereo A and stereo B, thanks to Peter's work, BP Oil Disaster. He's passed away, but it was amazing, and I have a lot of that footage. I was around studying that stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, now, excuse me. Now listen, there's another headline right here. Polar vortex is spinning backwards above Arctic after major reversal event, okay? And it says polar vortex is spinning backwards. Now, to understand, okay, so it says the polar vortex is spinning backward above the Arctic after a major reversal event triggers atmospheric upheaval. Okay, so there has been some really super strange weather that has been taking place, which of course is going to be associated with the perturbations of all of the different planets and the eccentricity of the orbit of the Earth around this, and not only the moon around the Earth, but also the other planets are being affected by it as well. There are, it's just amazing the amount of data, but you got to be looking for it and you got to understand it. And the perturbations associated with the magnetosphere that surrounds the sun, the reason why NASA is sending up these little mini rockets, they're basically weather rockets, okay? That's all they are. And they're only sending them into the stratosphere. You know, they're sending them they call it the F layer. They're sending them up into that layer, in the various layers around the sun and the atmosphere, the upper atmosphere, to get a measurement of the perturbations that are occurring while all this is taking place. So NASA knows that this is a God thing. NASA knows it's a God thing, but do you not see this as an opportunity for Satan to do more? Of course. So when I was talking to Elena, I told her about a View to a Kill. Okay, this is a very supernatural thing, and we're talking about it, and she's like, boy, I feel something, you know, something. And I said to her, well, did you know that a View to a Kill? And I told her about Zorro and all that kind of stuff, and them planting little mini nukes to trigger the San Andreas Fault or whatever the case is. I forget which fault it was. But anyway, it was around there. But the point is this, right afterwards. And then I had to take a snapshot off my phone to send it to Elena for her to see it, because she was in a line at a store. She could not look. When she looked at it, she said, whoa, because she knew we were talking about a View to a Kill 007. And boom, right there you had it, 007 in the windows of the closed Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. You can't make this stuff up. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's pretty weird. All right, now we also have an awful lot of people out there that are saying, hey, I just got activated. The question is this disinformation or not? We don't know. We are in a war footing right now, and the one thing you can count on is during wars is lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. And it's going to get worse. There was so much backstabbing, lying stuff going on during World War II. It's absolutely out of control. Our understanding of history is distorted, and there are people that are showing up around the world on various social media sites saying things like, I've been activated, I just got activated, you know, as part of the, you know, I'm being called back into war duty, you know, and is it true? You know, some people say this is a bunch of baloney. I don't know. It's exceedingly difficult because there are buildings in Langley. There's buildings by the CIA facility that are just not – there's no signs. All it is just a big glass building that's like, you know, 8 stories tall or 4 stories tall, and it's all solid glass. And you don't see anything except these glass buildings. The government has been – the Babylon the Great's government has been investing billions and billions of dollars into counterintelligence. Okay, so then we have the 7.4 earthquake in Taiwan. Well, one of the things that's very interesting is when you have a conjunction of planets, remember that there's 7 other planets that are out there. Remember there's a brown dwarf that is out there. These are all perturbations for the heliosphere of the sun. These are all things that are going to mess up the tectonic plates. These are all the kind of things that are going to cause like Papacata petal to pop off. Okay, you know, all these things that, you know, maybe Randy Hecker said. We're still trying to get Randy Hecker. I don't know why we're having trouble, but I'll get with Nancy and see if she can ping him again. But anyway, the 7.4 earthquake in Taiwan is related to all of this. So are the others. There are 6.6s. There are 5.5s. There are some relatively powerful earthquakes that are happening all over the place right now. All right. But the one that happened up in New York appears to have been one that was created by the forces of darkness. Okay. And I've played that audio bite many times. And I wonder if I brought it down into this. Yes, I did. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So anyway, now. We already talked about NASA. I'm not going to spend time on this article, but there are articles out there talking about NASA launching rockets into the total solar eclipse on April 8th. That's exactly how they word it, by the way. But that's not really what they're doing. Okay, what they're doing is, it even says, NASA's atmospheric perturbations around eclipse path. By the way, that's a mission. That's called the APEP mission, the APEP mission, named for the Egyptian god of darkness. Oh, and the enemy of sun god Ra. Isn't it fascinating how they name them all about, you know, it's always about Satan. And but they're going up to measure the F layer and the atmospheric perturbations around the Earth. Okay, do they know something's up? You better believe they do. Well, you heard the Fox News guy. I mean, it was right there. Let's listen to that again real quick. Let's see here.
Earthquake coming up on Monday, as Deborah Ross was telling us, it's going to be a transformative experience for anybody who is...
The earthquake coming up on Monday? What? Okay, so anyway, so we'll see. All right, so now also remember from Robert Vandreas Mitchell, he made it very, very clear that the Illuminati and these entities that own these technologies, the call them the elite, call them the WEF, call them the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate, that, you know, they're the ones who spend the billions of dollars, and they're, you got the military-industrial extraterrestrial complex, and they work together. This has been going on for decades and decades and decades. And over time, the fallen angelic alien tech becomes more and more advanced, okay? So then you've got the testimony of this guy, okay, who is talking about, his name is Eric Hecker, okay, and he's talking about the alien tech that he was in charge of down in Antarctica. Is this a spoof? Is this a bunch of baloney? I don't know. I mean, how do you, what do you, the guy was coming out and telling people he was going to rat them out, he was going to whistleblow them, and I thought, that, you know, and go to the government and tattletale on them. That would be the equivalent of what happened to Nixon when he went to the head of the CIA and said, I know who killed JFK. He actually, you know, said John. And he didn't realize that he was actually talking to the guy that ordered his assassination. That's why they took out Nixon. This is all news that's out there right now. So anyway, let's listen to this guy real quick. I don't know how long this is. It's 4 minutes. It's too long. Let's see what he says.
Bring me this attention and this information attention because it needs to get out to the world. I will start, since we have to be brief. I have already given all pertinent information and supporting documentation to the Senate Intelligence Committee and Arrow. They informed me that all of my information will be recorded for public record and shared with Congress. It is that important. In 2010, I was selected to go down to the South Pole Station in Antarctica for an entire year by Raytheon Polar Services as an employee of a third-party contractor for the National Science Foundation. I function in a dual-role capacity as a tradesman and a firefighter. My responsibilities required me to be more informed than most of my crew and offered me complete access to the facilities. What I learned from this unique experience needs to be shared with the entire world. The technology at the South Pole Station certainly can do what it is presented as its primary purposes, and unfortunately, much more. The Ice Cube Neutrino Detector is presented as a passive listening device for the purposes of the science as presented.
Neutrino.
But I'm going to skip right through the chase, folks. I have provided documentation that proves that the 5,160, what they call DOMs, that are embedded in the ice can actually transmit at 2,047 volts each. That gives us a long list of things to consider. It is effectively a multifaceted directed energy weapons platform that I will list rapidly a few things that it can do. Vehicle detection. We're learning that these off-world craft, on-world craft, ours or other nations, are also emitting neutrinos. So this makes the South Pole Station effectively an air traffic control station for this new level of equipment that nobody's discussing. In addition to the ability to detect neutrinos and the exotic vehicles, I have provided documentation that shows that this is also a system for faster than light communications. In the past, Gary McKinnon has hacked NASA, found the off-world fleet, the list of captains, and it's apparent that if we have faster-than-light vehicles moving throughout the system, we're going to need faster-than-light communications. This is that facility.
Wow.
Unfortunately, I have other bad news. The season that I was there, 2010 to 2011, we converted from construction to operations and maintenance in both the elevated station and the detector array. Unfortunately, when they first fired it up, that was when we had the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand. There were two incidental shots before they were able to target it correctly. This is an earthquake-generating device as well. This is the weapons of war that we have to deal with now and what Raytheon's hiding.
All right. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and blast through to more information, but this particular technology that he's talking about is exceedingly advanced alien tech. Now, what's fascinating is that I don't even know if this guy's still alive. I mean, normally they disappear people that come out and, you know, they mean well. And maybe he is, you know, we don't know. One of the things that's interesting about the forces of darkness is, you know, like, I don't even want to name some of the names, but we know who they are. They have they kill people. They suicide them. Okay, you understand? And so, but then on the other hand, they tend to leave alone when they think that the person is talking about things that the vast majority of the people of the world will not believe, like alien tech and stuff like that, then they will oftentimes leave them alone because they just figure that nobody's going to believe it anyways. They're just going to think they're nuts. Okay? All right. And you heard what that scientist said on Kerry Cassidy's program. And yes, it was a static image, so who knows? I don't know when it was published, but the very fact that this particular guy said 2024 implies that it wasn't in 2024. All right. Now let's listen to this. This is live on TV. Hopefully it comes through audio-wise pretty good. I'm just going to play it for you. This is FEMA making an announcement on television regarding what's going to be happening on Monday, and this particular person is talking about Ohio, which I guess is in the the track. All right, and so anyway, here we go. Just so much information.
Cautions before a big travel day of SMART. If you'll be traveling around Ohio, as motorists should be sure to frequently top off their gas tanks. Frequently top off your gas tanks. And to fully charge their electric vehicles. Have a preparedness kit in your car and items like paper mats, snacks, drinks, cash, and a cell phone charger. It's a good idea also to have a communications plan if you're traveling with your family or friends in case you're separated. Know where to meet up. Have a place to meet up. Know where to take shelter if there's an event. Having those discussions ahead of time are critically important to help thwart any type of confusion that may happen in large crowds.
Any type of confusion that might happen in large crowds. Come on. You know, did we fall out of the brain tree and slap our heads against every stick on the way down or what? Anyway, hospitals on high alert, solar eclipse. I kid you not, that is a report. Hospitals being on high alert, emergency departments in Rochester, New York. Hospitals across the region are ramping up staffing and preparations to accommodate the anticipated influx of visitors. Hey, honey, that was really an impressive solar eclipse. What do you think? Let's all go to the hospital because I just feel like visiting them. You know, and it even says ProMedica, Toledo Hospital, and other hospitals in Northwest Ohio are gearing up. Boy, it looks like Ohio. Something's going on. I mean, a lot of Ohio and a lot of being mentioned in a lot of these things. Okay, praise God. So, again, I wanted to put all this data out. I wanted to weave in the military-industrial extraterrestrial complex, the MI, these are known as MIL labs. We've talked about them on other shows with Elena, with Robert, Vandreas Mitchell, praise God. So there's a lot going on here. We got alignments. We got all kind of new. Let's pretend it's gravity, okay? All the alignment of the gravity of even if you know if you understand. Have you ever played with magnets and like iron filings and done all that kind of stuff? I was fascinated by it. Matter of fact, I got some rare earth magnets right in my drawer right here. But anyway, whatever. When you understand wave theory, vibrations, light, quantum physics, when you know you don't have to be an expert at it. You don't have to be like a physicist. But you know, if you have a basic understanding of these things, and you understand the neutrino field that surrounds the entire, like you have to get like past further past Pluto, pretty far before you are outside of the heliosphere, which is this, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a energy field that is created around our solar system. Okay, and when that's perturbed, you just heard about the scientific group from NASA. It's a group about perturbations. Okay, that's what they're sending up the rockets. They're actually called the NASA Atmospheric Perturbations Around the Eclipse Path, the APEP mission, named for the Egyptian god of darkness and the enemy of the sun god Ra, for crying out loud. Listen to this stuff. This is amazing. We have testimonies of people that have that are coming forward. It's leaking out about the fact that they have. You see, a lot of times we think about CERN as being this, like, you go to a building and you go down an elevator and you're at CERN. That is not how it works. CERN is like, what is it? It's like, isn't it like, I don't know. I'd have to look it up on the internet again, because I don't remember the exact, but it's humongous. It's humongous. It's humongous. It's absolutely humongous. There's multiple entry points. There's multiple places. It's gigantic. Okay. As a matter of fact, while I'm on the program right now, let's see, dimensions of CERN. Okay. Let's see the large extra dimensions. Okay. Home of CERN. DBDBD gravitons. Oh gosh, you're going to get into all kinds of science. Okay, let's just take a look at this. Okay, so basically, it was built by European organization in 1998 to 2008 in collaboration with over 10,000 scientists. Come on, just give me the size and dimensions of this thing. It's going to make me read the whole article, and we don't have time for it, but, you know, it talks about the Higgs boson. Here, let me try another search, one more quick. I'd really like to have it. Maybe, hey, West Coast Walter, do it. Look it up, buddy. Give me the – okay, here it is. 27 kilometers in circumference, which is what? What is that? Like, that's got to be probably almost 20 miles. You know, maybe 18 miles across in circumference or 20. No, in circumference. That's a circumference. Okay. So it's not. I'm trying to give you the information associated with how deep it is underground, which I believe it's 300 feet. It's really deep underground. Okay. Let's see if West Coast Walter, Angela Sankovic, keeping you in prayer. She says, thank you for that, Angela. God bless you. Thank you so much. But anyway, I don't have it handy, but it is spectacularly huge. It says it consists of a 27-kilometer ring of superconductors and magnets, so the thing is absolutely fantastically large. I do not – it's possible that it only has one entrance to it, but I would be very surprised, because that would just not make sense. As a matter of fact, when I'm looking at the diagram here, it appears to show the Atlas location, which is one of the epicenters, at the Alice location, the CMS location, and the LHCb location on the actual ring. And they have scientists that are now coming forward and whistleblowing, or scientists, maybe they are the helper of the scientists. Maybe it's the executive assistant of the scientists, but they're ratting it out. It's leaking the information about them bringing demons through portals that they are opening up with CERN on purpose. And it's fascinating too, because when you listen to the description of the actual demons that they're bringing through, the description matches what was in the Miami Mall. The black figures like Heidi Hollis was talking about. So, and when we understand how many different types of fallen angelic beings are and how many different species of fallen angels there are, it is just earth-shattering. It's mind-numbing how much, you know, how many different species we're dealing with. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so that's pretty much where we stand with the dynamics of tomorrow, what may or may not happen. Now, I will bring this up as a possibility. Nothing might happen. And you might say, why? Well, one of the things that seems to be relatively consistent, although I doubt this is going to be the case for tomorrow, I just don't know. But we have to, one, this happens all the time. Robert Vandreas Mitchell brought this up many times. And him in the true blue his birth. He was born into the Illuminati bloodline. All right. And he explains to all of us when he comes on the program, if you listen carefully, that they have a playbooks. Plan A, Plan B, just like football players. And they look and the coach of the football, and then you have that, you know, the actual quarterback, and they can do, you know, they can make a call, you know, the, you know, it's, you know, it's called calling audibles, and they can shift and change up the plays. Well, that's how these guys operate. And so when we start to chatter about it, when they figure that the cat's out of the bag, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll make us look like a bunch of numbskulls, okay, and they'll go to Plan B. They'll go to Plan B. And then everybody's looking at each other going, why in the world did they do that? Why did that person say there was going to be an earthquake on Monday? But, you know, and then we'll all start chattering and going, you know, I don't know. And then the whole world basically, you know, sounds like, you know, that, you know, drunk Batman thing that I play a lot of times. And I don't even know where I put the I don't even know where I put the sound effect on the new board. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, that's intentional. These entities like to keep us completely confused. Now, with a little bit of time that we have left, I'm going to talk about mention that the – okay, so we know about the Obama movie on Netflix. You know, I've been watching so many apocalyptic movies lately. Okay, so it's called the Obama movie on Netflix. Okay, and let's see here. Leave the World Behind. There you go. I was watching there's so many overlapping apocalyptic movies with different titles that overlap. It's amazing. I was watching Moonfall. Just this weekend, I watched Moonfall. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. And what if it's true? Could be true. Watch that movie. Could very well be prophetic. Okay, praise God. But anyway, we know about the Francis Con. Here's the thing. In the movie Leave the World Behind, you have this scene. Now, this is Obama. Think about it. Obama. And you know who I think Obama is, don't you? Well, because of what my mom said. My mother's Bible study pastor, Brother David Ebal, saw a vision of the Antichrist wearing a blue turban on his head. What do you know? I went out and searched that on the internet, and sure enough, there was Obama with a blue turban on his head. What's that about? We've had, 100 testimonies of God, very godly people before things got into mass state of confusion post-2019 that we've collected over the last 13 years. It's astonishing. Did you know that 25% of the people that were polled in the United States of America in 2008 believed that Obama was the Antichrist? The problem is that we forget. As soon as it's out of sight, out of mind, everybody goes on about their business. And now the Antichrist is Donald Duck. Okay, I will never forget what happened to me when I was 10 years old in 1972, and my mother sat me down and said, Johnny, I was given a vision of the Antichrist, and I need to tell you about it because he is approximately your age. He is alive today, and he is a mulatto man, half white and half black. In 72, she told me that. Obama is about 6 months older than I am. Think about it. We already know what they're going to do to Donald Trump. We've already heard the prophecies and dreams and the visions and things that people have come forward to. I have them. I can play them for you, but I don't have time. All right, so now what's going on with the bridges? You got the Leave World Behind movie. Do you think that this is Obama flexing his muscle? How much power do you think he has? Some have estimated because of his role and his appointment by the forces of darkness that he's worth trillions. But you know, this is something I wouldn't have information to. It's just rumors that are floating out. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows how much Klaus Schwab is worth? You know, they say Soros is worth $20 billion, but now it's Alex Soros, and he's telling everybody that they're going to assassinate Donald Trump right on Twitter in front of everybody. I have testimonies of people that live on mainstream media talking about assassinating Donald Trump. People that are outside of events talking that got recorded by live mics and stuff talking about that same thing. You've got, oh gosh, you could do a whole radio show on just that one subject. So then you get the Leave World Behind series, right? Well, now it's more than that. We're up to approximately, I'm just going to cut to the chase here because we're really running out of time. We are currently up to approximately four or five major bridge events. And by the way, they're not all in the United States. There was one a major bridge barge incident that occurred in the Netherlands. Okay, so this is happening all over the place. Are they being hacked? Well, that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that China is hacking into them and turning off their electrical systems, and it's causing them to, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But there are bridges that are getting taken out all over the place. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to bring that up. It's very, very difficult. Now, they are saying that they're trying to blame it as a terrorist attack from the Chinese Communist Party on American soil. But wait a minute, aren't we in bed with China? Isn't Biden in bed with China? Isn't the World Economic Forum in bed with China? Wouldn't that mean that the 9-foot-tall Draco reptilian that refers to itself as Hillary, wouldn't that also – what about Trudeau? What is that entity? Is he some kind of a strange pink homosexual? You know what I'm talking about, LGBT, LMNOP, that goes over and has special parties with, you know, Klaus Schwab and company? Why is it that in the Bohemian Grove, Herbert Walker Bush, the Bush group, the Bush family gets together, and when you go into the Grove, they have a thing. It's a big sign, and it says, "This way to Gog." Okay, they call it Gog or Magog or whatever the case is, and then they do all kinds of LGBT, LMNOP stuff there amongst the men. Okay, it's just absolutely disgusting and unbelievable, but it's the same stuff that they were doing, in the Skull and Bone stuff, which I've played before. It's pretty sickening, really. Okay, the human output that they put into these giant coffins begging aliens. I mean, really, look at the analogy.
This is their plan, people. These are demons. Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons. They're frickin' interdimensional invaders, okay? I'll just say it. Make fun of me all you want on CNN or wherever, but everyone already innately knows this. These people are not frickin' humans.
All right, now, and we're going to run out of time, but Netherlands Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the Arkansas Bridge, the Kansas Bridge, the list just goes on and on and on. And wouldn't you know it, the Francis Scott Key Bridge was insured by none other than Larry Silverstein, who happened to be the guy who insured the World Trade Centers when they were collapsed. So there's all these people out there going, wait a minute, this was controlled demolition. The Francis Scott Key Bridge crumpled too easily, and they show the squibs from the nanothermite that they use to melt the steel to cause the bridge to totally collapse. It doesn't happen like it. You see it. When you see the video, that's not how the bridge – that's not what they do. They don't do it. Now you've got the Verrazano Bridge in Staten Island. You've got another situation where you've got a container ship that lost power. This was just like a day ago or so. Verrazano. This is the bridge that goes between Staten Island, one of the ones that goes, you know, Staten Island to Manhattan. Stuff is still going on. All right, I've got several reports of that. All right, now, speaking of World War III, we're down to 5 minutes. Okay, the Russian Federation has military police brigades policing Syria. So right now we have Russia, who has moved troops. Now, it says the armed forces of the Russian Federation have now stepped up operations in Syria, striking ISIS and pushing Israel out of the illegally held territory inside of Syria. So now we actually have Russian forces that are on the other side of the Golan Heights to keep things contained, if you know what I'm saying, which is, by the way, it isn't working out real well when the IIF goes over and blows up the Turkish embassy. All right. And I'm sorry, the Iranian embassy in Syria. All right. Which has set off an extreme alarm. Now, we'll see what happens with we just got to keep our eye on the situation. Erdogan is set for defeat, they're claiming. They have hundreds of millions of people, you know, millions and millions. I mean, I don't know how many people are protesting in the streets, but they are out to get rid of Erdogan. They believe that they're manipulating the vote, they're rioting in Turkey. So at this time, there are riots taking place in Turkey. Okay, so again, they want to get rid of Erdogan. They already feel like they're getting ripped off, like we did, and they're rioting in the streets in Turkey. This is an amazing development because Erdogan is in bed with Israel. Yeah, he's unfortunately that's the case. All right, and they don't like it. The Turkish people do not like that. All right. The Jerusalem Post says strategic blow. Alleged Israeli airstrike takes out Iranian general in Damascus. No. Let's be clear. It was actually 7, as I recall. Now, again, I have to go and double check my numbers here because I'm moving super fast. But I believe the last report that I saw was that there were 7 high-ranking officials that were killed in that Israeli bombing of the Iranian consulate. That has made Iran extremely mad. So now the reports that are coming out is Iran reportedly is planning to attack Israel with drones and cruise missiles targeting strategic locations inside of Israel. But then you have these other counter reports coming out that says that they're trying to cut a deal with Biden and the United States is promising Iran that they're going to stay out of it. But then on the flip side of that coin, you have people with TikTok phones and they're recording military troops, United States of America's army troops over there, and they have footage of them moving on the highways. But again, is it legit or not? I mean, that's the problem. We don't know. But again, it says it says Iran is to attack Israel in the next 48 hours. They don't know. They're asking the question. Who knows? Okay, then we had the breakout of rioting in the Knesset. Now, you have 60 seconds if you want to call into the show. It's 319-527-6020. I'm going to run into overtime a little bit. 319-527-6020. All right. And if you call quick, 319-527-6020. You have 40 seconds to connect before they will not accept any calls. And you can just press 1 to listen to the host. All right. Or just listen and keep, just stay on the phone. All right, but there was a big brawl that broke out in the Israeli Knesset. Okay, now listen, they had more attacks. 10 people were killed. There were supposedly 7 people that were killed in the consulate, and then you have another 10 people that were killed at Iranian facilities and bases. Okay, it says Iran has accused foreign intelligence services of launching simultaneous attacks on 5 military and security headquarters in Iranian cities of Chabahar and Rosk. Okay? And the IRGC comes out and they say, we warn the enemies of the region and outside of it, then terrorist groups, national security and stability are a red line. Okay? So again, it's continuing. It's continuing. All right, then you have this. I'm going to go ahead and play this. I don't know how much, you know, how I don't know if Blog Talk Radio will allow me to go on much further. I could roll some of this together for Wednesday, but I'm just going to touch upon some of these things, and then we'll go ahead. It's unbelievable. The amount of information is staggering. Okay, we have Blinken, Anthony Blinken, coming out on the AP Newswire verbally stating that they are going to make the Ukraine a part of NATO. Listen to this.
The determination of every country represented here at Ukraine, the determination of every country represented here at NATO remains rock solid. We will do everything that we can. Allies will do everything that they can to ensure that Ukraine has what it needs to continue to deal with Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, an aggression that gets worse with every passing day. Ukraine will become a member of NATO.
All right, so you heard it from Blinken himself. You know that he is, folks, if you would look up these folks' lineage line, it all maps back to the Khazars, the Khazarian, the Jews that are not Jews. The Synagogue of Satan. There are massive protests by the tens of thousands of people in Israel protesting against Netanyahu's government. Who are they? Well, they're not part of the Synagogue of Satan. Get it? See, the answer is never A, B, or C. The answer is all of the above. Iran says the decision and the response to Israel is made. Okay, according to Iran Defense, it says the Iran Defense Minister says, quote, The decision to take revenge on Israel has been made. We will deal them a powerful blow. It will be implemented. Okay. All forces are on high alert. Again, just headline after headline. Iran is on high alert. The headlines are just absolutely astonishing. Okay, they mentioned that the Abu Fadak, leader of more than 250,000 Iraqi fighters, says he is waiting for Imam Khomeini's decision regarding Israel. This is not just one Islamic country. Okay, this is multiple ones and groups. Okay, that are ready to swarm in on Israel. Now, what does that mean? Well, I can tell you that the stores are empty in Israel. There's footage, live video footage of the stores. And boy, you think you've seen empty shelves in Florida when there's a hurricane coming? Oh, my goodness. These are really empty. Now, you know, again, it says Israeli media report that the Iranians have not yet launched a single drone, but the army is in full readiness, and this is a great achievement, according to this particular person who is following very closely. All right, and we got sicknesses, other apocalyptic news. Of course, we know about the transgender day of visibility that happened on Easter Sunday. What a smack in the face to God, so they're poking them in the face. We know, we just found out, thank you, Jesus, that they are getting ready to release E.T. movie. It's called E.T. It's a remake, or not a remake, but it's a sequel to the original E.T. movie. And guess what it's called? The Return to Earth. What do you know? So, and they say it's going to be in the summer of 2025. That's kind of a bummer to me because I was kind of hoping to be out of here by then. And maybe we will be. Maybe we will be. Not all these things that these entities – listen to this. Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace is now guarded by French soldiers for the first time in history. It's almost as if the oligarchy in the United Kingdom is being dissolved. It just keeps going on and on and on. But anyway, because of the vast amount of stuff that I still have dangling as far as news is concerned, I'm going to go ahead and mark this information, roll it forward to the next show, and praise God that we were able to do what we did tonight and get out the information, at least the information that's associated with what might happen tomorrow. Remember, it's never A. It's not just God. If they know that the ley lines are lining up, if they know that the perturbations of the magnetosphere and the neutrinos and all this stuff that's going on out there, they know about it. They know about it. They know about it. You can believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Never mind that they're now preparing to bring 30,000 people per month, migrants, in the United States. So they're ramping it up. They're ramping it up. They're increasing it. What's that going to do? We already know. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all for joining us tonight. It was great to be back on the radio show because I go nuts if I can't get this information out to people. But anyway, I just praise God for all of you. I am praying for you. I pray that you pray for me. Pray for the lost as much as you can. We need to be seeking the Lord now, taking communion together. I'm sorry about the Friday night blowing up, but the whole blog talk thing was really a mess. And thank you, Jesus. They were able to get back in touch with me. Wow. That was a statement of awesomeness. Praise you, Jesus, for that. And then we knew tonight was going to be a good show, technologically speaking. Praise God. All right, so let's see what happens tomorrow. We don't know. It's up to our Heavenly Father, ultimately. Well, if our Heavenly Father has indeed lifted his hand of protection off of the earth, as I believe, then we'll have to wait and see, because we're at the disposal. Listen, God is still protecting his people. Otherwise, Satan would have killed them all. Us, you, me, every one of us. We'd be dead. They'd rip our heads off, saw us asunder. They hate our guts. Anything that even resembles our Heavenly Father, they hate. They hate. And the tares are the shining ones. Michael Heiser. Reptilians. And they know how to manipulate the hologram that we are in right now. All right, so we need to understand these things as we move forward. Keep your eyes open. Praise God. I'm sorry that I had to run over a little bit, but I wanted to make sure I got out at least the most important headlines from this from the last couple of days and kind of point them out as being very, very noteworthy. Praise God. So anyway, I'm going to roll some of these headlines forward, but folks, tomorrow might be a very – pray. Just pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for the people that will be affected, if, just in case. Okay, pray for them. Pray that God will send angels into the spiritual realm to rescue them, to snatch them out of the hands of the demons that want to – you know, if people are going to be dying, we need to be praying for them, praying that God will have mercy on them and save their souls, praying that God will send angels into the spiritual, into the other dimension and grab them and allow them to be taken before God in heaven and accept, like Julie Wedby's vision that we read very carefully on the prayer vigil once, maybe a couple of times. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. The power of our prayer is far more powerful than we realize. Way more powerful than we realize. Praise God. All right, so anyway, I just wanted to share as much as I possibly could tonight. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to be busy as a three-legged cat in a room full of rocking chairs, but you know, probably get me yelled at or whatever. Not yelled, but, you know, whatever. You know how it is. But anyway, jobs can be very difficult nowadays. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, please pray for me. I am praying for you, and we should all be praying always to be counted with all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man at the wedding supper. That is some seriously awesome stuff. It doesn't get any better than that. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And on that note, we will see you, Lord willing, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. God bless you all.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.